You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Plays all night and little the lights will be going up on old Rockefeller's tree. People window shopping on Fifth Avenue. All I want for Christmas is you. Take it, Matthew.
What accent was that?
Come on! I want to know.
I was going to yes and you, but I was like, I don't know that I can do that voice. It would just be a letdown.
Question: who sings that song? And who is the band accompanying that singer?
I thought you made up that song. Like,
you're right in the right headspace here. I can't believe, first of all, Troy, I can't believe that's the question. Because my statement was going to be, one of the things that impresses me the most about you is that for each of these intros, you sing a Christmas song that I have never heard in my life.
You've heard that one. It's in many, many Christmas movies. It was impossible to discern from whatever weird accent.
Is there a weird accent?
Like spin. It was like a
spin. You were like doing like a Norwegian spin.
I felt like I was just being me. That Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. That's obviously very well known from that movie. It's Darlene Love with the E Street Band behind her.
Love the E Street Band.
You can't say Darlene Christmas Love without Darlene Love, let me tell you.
I assume, as a devotee of Christmas music, you have the Phil Spector Christmas album, which has all those amazing tracks, like the Ronettes and the Darlene Love and everything. But then you get to the weird track with the creepy message from Phil Spector that comes on.
I have not listened to that. No, I have all those songs individually. But yeah, I haven't had the creepy Phil Spector voice. Skid, I imagine you're a big Darlene Love fan. Didn't she always do Letterman, the final show before Christmas on Letterman? She'd come out and sing.
Never heard that name before in my life.
God, come on!
Are you thinking of David Sanborn?
No. She did every single, she would sing Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home on Letterman every year, like the last show before Christmas. And then, like, the year he retired, she came back. I was like, she's done it for like 15 years or whatever, however many years, and we're bringing her back for the last one. You of all people, I'm surprised.
If it didn't happen during the NBC era, I wouldn't know.
It's a marshmallow world.
She's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I'm glad.
I'm just trying to bring a little
I was thinking about
cheer.
You the other day. I was thinking about you the other day because we were
touching yourself.
So stupid.
Oh God, that makes me so sick just thinking of it. I was just thinking the other day, I was talking to my wife about Christmas decorations and when this is all going down, when we're going to put the outside decorations up, because it's a bit of a cold snap here for the next 7 days or so in the Northeast. And I was curious if yours are already up. Is your whole house already lit from outside?
The house is pretty well decorated on the inside. I've got lights up on the inside all throughout the house. The way we like to do it is we keep the kitchen harvesty Thanksgiving themed until Black Friday. Then that turns over. So I've got like 6 boxes downstairs ready to come up. But I've already brought up 6. In terms of outside lights, 2 days ago on the 15th, as is tradition, I did the lights along our white picket fence. And then this weekend, I will try not to die as I hang them on my house. Because it's pretty scary. I have a ladder that I have to stand on the top rung to get to 2 spaces, and it's just like rickety. And I always think, like, this last year I was like, if I fall, I'm going to die. Not just break my leg, I'm going to die. But it's Christmas.
It is so scary. When I get up, so I got this ladder, and it's new, and I'm excited about it. I did some gutter cleaning this fall up high. And I didn't like it. I was very scared. I'm scared of heights naturally. But when I get up on this thing, I'm like, this is a new ladder. It was not cheap. It's a good, well-made ladder. But really, all that is holding you is like two pieces of metal that are like this thick.
Yeah.
And they just, they go into this little slot. And if that thing just gives for any reason, it's just, and it's either paralyzed or dead. You know, those are the two options. So it is so, just so damn scary.
It's very, very scary. It was easier to take them down than put them up. But I felt like last year, I was going to hire somebody. And the guy came and was like, yeah, we can do it for about $7,000. I'm like, fuck yourself.
I remember you saying on stream, you were like, I'm just going to pay somebody to do it. I
was
like,
that was my plan.
That is not the holiday spirit.
Yeah, it's
not nicest holiday guy spirit. In the world came, gave me an estimate. It was like $7,000. I was like, yeah, well, I'll be in touch. Because the lights are expensive. And so last year I did it. And a lot of it was just like, I can't reach. The ladder's rickety. Now I feel like I've got a system. So those will go up this weekend. And then we have a giant 20-foot tall Santa that goes on the lawn. That'll probably go up on Sunday.
How does is that a blow up John, or is it like a huge plastic Santa?
It's a blow up John. You know, it inflates every day at 4:30 p.m. So like now it's so dark in Westchester.
Every day it's just like,
deflates.
Yeah, everything on a timer. Like,
oh my god, I didn't know that's how those worked.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
You don't want to pay for the electricity all day long.
Yeah, no, you see our bill. It's just like in National Lampoon's when it's like spinning the meter. I was thinking about getting some more blow-ups this year. We'll see. The Santa one's a real big hit. But it's so dark.
Like,
and there's no street lamps in Yorktown or anywhere in Westchester. The Taconic doesn't have a single fucking light on it. So I light up the entire grid of the neighborhood because there's just – now there's light, and it's great. I'll walk out there in the middle of the night, just admire the lights, and then run back away from the raccoons.
Are the neighbors fans of the blow-up Santa, or are they scarred by the 4:30 occurrence?
I think they're into it. I mean, who doesn't love a little Christmas cheer? They know we have kids, and, you know, a lady the other day saw me put it. She's like, wow, you're hanging those up early. I'm like, yeah, it's for the kids. And then I said, actually, it's for me. It's mainly for me. I just love it so much.
Please never speak to me again.
Please don't talk to me.
Exactly. That's what I say. Troy, have you seen, speaking of Christmas, have you seen the Netflix movie Falling for Christmas yet?
Is that the Lindsay Lohan one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on our to-do list. Okay. I've been so deep into Hallmark, I just haven't had time, Skid.
There's a new Lindsay Lohan Christmas movie?
Yeah, I highly recommend it. No one in the movie wants anything to do with being in this movie. It is so incredible.
Everybody's trying
on there
to
looks
here.
Like they want to leave. It's fucking great.
Yeah, they're all trying to get into the Christmas movie game to compete with Hallmark and Lifetime. So Netflix has started to dab their toe. Last year they have
their toe. They've been deep in it. Are you not a Christmas prince?
I didn't like Christmas Prince 2. I sat through both of them and I wasn't a fan. It just doesn't have the sort of morphine drip that the Hallmark has. Yeah, the formula and the morphine drip. I watched the one last year with what's her name? The comic. And the girl, I can't remember. I'm turning an old man. You know the one with the comic and the girl?
The funny man.
The funny guy. Anyways.
And then they go on a road trip, see?
Her and the joke teller go on a road trip.
The reason I was really into it is it was supposed to take place in Lake Placid, but they didn't actually film it in Lake Placid. And Lake Placid is such a big part of our Christmas tradition, so that's why we watched it. And it was good. It was actually, I was surprised that it was good.
Did you get to watch my favorite Christmas movie last year?
Which is?
We talked about it on the stream. Let's see how well you pay attention to my Christmas spirit.
It's a weird one. I remember
it's
being
not a weird,
weird
one. It's a Best Picture winner, Troy.
That's why it's, yeah. I remember you said it. You were like, Some Like It Hot. And we're like, what? That's a
it's not far off. It's The Apartment.
I knew it was something like that.
It's a Billy Wilder movie.
That'd be something weird.
It's not weird. It's a classic.
How's everybody doing tonight? Skid, you look like you're ready to hit up the Playboy Mansion after this call.
I'm good. Troy, you can relate. We have to keep our heating off because it's very loud while this is going on and it's freezing outside. And actually the heating system was broken for 2 days, which is like 52 degrees in here.
Oh,
it doesn't sound that bad if you're outside. If you're inside in your home, it's horrible. So to shield myself against oncoming hypothermia, I have to look like I'm Father Christmas.
Father Christmas.
But Skid, you are on record as being very pro robe.
I love robes. I'm a big robe guy, so any excuse. But in this case, I actually needed to live.
Do you like a robe with nothing underneath, or you like robe with clothes?
No, I like having clothes on underneath. I like layered robing.
Layered robing. That's You're a layered robist.
I'm a layered robist. That's my method of choice.
Well known, well documented layered robist.
Layered robist.
Okay, where do you stand on this whole robe debate?
Yeah, I don't want to start. I don't want to open a whole can of worms, but I'll just say, for my own personal taste, layered robing is how I choose to live.
Okay, you a big robe person?
We were waiting for you to speak, Kate.
Yeah.
I don't.
Would you take us on a tour of your robe collection?
I don't wear robes. It's something that like I see other people do, like get out the shower and like put on a robe while you get ready, and it like looks fun. And I'm like, I want to be that person. But then like I get a robe and I'm like, I don't want to fuss with this. I don't know. Like I have my routine and it doesn't involve a robe. My husband loves robes. He's got a robe. He's a robe boy.
Big robe guy.
Yeah.
Robes are a lot of work. I'm not going to lie.
Is it?
I'm gonna commit.
Let me ask you, is it sexy for a guy, and this is for all of us, to wear like a silk kimono that ends at the hip and nothing else?
That's good looks.
It's cool we can have your opinion on this. Oh my God.
Depends on the silk.
I imagine you prancing around the house in one of those flowery kimonos.
I just like the feel of it on my skin.
Just picture the hair that's coming out from the underneath.
I do have a robe, and it's a silk robe, and I wear that robe because it does feel good on your skin.
Yeah, I like a silk robe.
I don't think I've ever worn a silk robe.
I got one for being on a bachelor. I was a bridesmaid for some, yeah.
They gave us robes. Bridesmaid's dress was silk robes?
No, they gave us robes to get ready, and so that we get ready and we match and we're all cute.
Yes.
You know, like vibes.
Like vibes,
like vibes, Joe. God,
I like as many of you know, I enjoy a good hotel room robe, especially when you've been caught in the rain, which has happened, I think, two or three times when we're on the road. And I've worn robes with Skid. You and I wore robes together. I wore robes
that was
with Grant.
Fun. Yep,
yeah, in Boston.
I'm not a robe guy.
No,
I have the same problem with robes that I have with slippers. I don't wear them because they just instantly make me sweat. Instantly.
Word.
And I just, I can't, it's uncomfortable. A buddy of mine started a company. I think I told you guys about this years ago, but he started a company called sportrobe.com. If you ever want to check it out, sportrobe.com.
What was that name again?
It is it's jerseys as robes. Like every sport, every major athlete, you get the number, the name on the back. It's a robe. And they're pretty legit.
Sport robe.
My dad had a robe. It was a silk robe in the 70s, and it was the ugliest thing in my memory. It's the ugliest thing I can think of. It was like striped with like black and orange and red. It was like the skin of a psychedelic tiger that caught fire. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. It's burned into my memory.
Do you remember Zubaz? I'm dating myself here. That was big.
That's what it was like. It was like a robe, a Zubaz robe. It
sounds like a Bengals Zubaz robe.
Yeah, it was. That's the closest comparison you could possibly make.
Any Zubaz fans in the chat? Zubaz. I think my dad still has a pair of like early Pat the Patriot Zubaz pants.
Oh, they were so awful. They were so horrible looking.
Well, I'm excited to be back. We obviously we weren't here last week, and this is the last stream of this show of the year. The next show, which will be the last show of the year for us, is the Philly show. And there are still some tickets available to that. We just sold out of VIP. So get your tickets. And if you need a little extra incentive, guess who's going to be there? Joe's going to be there. Skid's going to be there. Matthew's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Sydney's going to be there. And Kate's going to be there.
And Kate's going to be there.
Kate's
going to be there.
Where?
They're going to be in Philly.
Yeah, she didn't either. Wow. That's awesome.
It's going to be very exciting, but there is the problem. It's Philadelphia.
That's Sorry. The, I made a reservation a year in advance, and they canceled it already. No, it's, if you just don't talk to anybody, it's a good time.
Or try to eat in a restaurant.
Yeah, don't do that.
Right. Many of the buildings.
To go there for the first time.
You'll love it. If you just... Yeah, picture without people. Picture a neutron bomb going off. Sort of an Omega Man situation. Just the buildings themselves, many of them are quite nice.
And quite historical.
Mm-hmm. They have good
Kate
cheese
strikes
sticks.
Me as a real American history buff.
She is, you could tell.
I like architecture.
Yeah.
Pretty buildings.
Okay.
You don't know me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Then we'll take it to Boston.
Someone's been like, if I don't see the Constitution before I get out of here, I'm going to lose my mind. It just doesn't
seem. Have the Constitution there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. You want to see it?
The original.
Sure.
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 Well, I hope that I bet you we just sold 1,000 more tickets now that people know Kate's coming. I'm excited. We're gonna have a full house. I mean, we're at City Winery. This is like a nice place for us vagrants Classic. To be hanging out. So that's gonna be a great show, and it's always our favorite show of the year. We call it the Christmas extravaganza. It's really a good time. There's ugly sweaters. I'm bringing back the eggnog, I think. Hopefully I'll feel better than I did when I came onto stage. But
question.
Yeah.
Instead of my ugly sweater, which I enjoy wearing very much, but it does tend to get a little hot. How would you feel if I wore a robe?
Is it a Christmas themed robe?
I don't know. I don't have one. I'd have to find a robe.
If you get a Christmas themed robe, I think that's appropriate. Yeah. I already got my outfit.
Yeah, I think I'm down, Matthew. I think it's appropriate to walk out on stage and like it's not so much a Christmas sweater for a Christmas party as much as it is an outfit for what you'd be wearing Christmas morning. So like pajama pants and a Christmas robe and like sweaters. A cup of coffee. I think it's legit.
It'd be real cute. How about some pajamas under that robe?
That's what you just said.
Literally what I just said.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't know if he was going to do that. You got to go. You got to get the Hannah Andersons. We get the Hannah Andersons for the family every year. They're a little pricey, but they're so nice.
Wait a minute, guys. Why don't we just get pajamagrams for all of us?
Oh,
this matching, is like matching set.
Matching set of pajamas for the Christmas show
would be
this is
adorable.
That's
adorable. And we could have stockings across the front of the table.
My God.
And we can all have we can go through our Christmas stockings when we come out on stage.
We can do
surprise gifts. We'll do Secret Santa.
Santa on stage.
Oh, that would be that would be so. I don't know about you, but I think you guys are getting in the Christmas spirit. Something just happened here.
I actually just got there. I wasn't there at all. And I am fully on. Like, I just got all Christmased up.
Yeah. I heard matching pajamas and I was in.
Yeah, it
took 7 years and I did it.
I'm not even joking. I will, like, let's do matching pajamas.
Oh my God. I love the Secret Santa on stage. Yes. Come on.
Sydney's in chat right now. She says, I'm going to make stockings.
She'll start knitting stockings.
Yes, she will. I bet she will.
This show's in like 2 weeks, isn't it?
This is phenomenal. Yeah. this is great. Well, I'm excited. Please come out. It really is our favorite show of the year, and we've got a lot of fun, exciting surprises for that. So come on out. In the meantime, I do want to play Pathfinder, but I've got 6 or 7 more announcements. If you watched the State of the Nation, you probably heard me talk about how we've got all these growth initiatives we're doing. And in order to do that, we want to find sponsors for our various shows. Like the new shows that we did this year, we want to find sponsors in order to be able to bring those shows back. But we're looking for sponsors just for the network in general to help us kind of achieve all the exciting things we want to achieve. We want to move into a new studio somewhere in New York and cause money. And like in an ideal world, these sponsors would all be sponsors that are tied in to what we do. But if Trojan or Summer's Eve calls.
After tonight's episode, maybe they will.
Dosh.
Give pajamagram. There we go. Give pajamagram a call right now.
I'm a Hannah Anderson guy. I don't cheat. Unless Pajama Graham knows how to write Glass Cannon LLC on a check, in which case we'll talk to them. But we do have a sponsor for tonight's episode. Our first sponsor. And this is a company that's owned by a member of the Nash. This is Dauntless Snacks.
Oh,
look at this.
Yeah.
They gave me about 20 of these sticks. McD sent them over to me. These are meat sticks. We've had these before. They sent them to the office, and we like plowed through these in a week, just eating meat sticks. This company is owned and operated not only by a member of the Nash, but a Marine vet. Always great to support veteran-owned businesses. Just had Veterans Day recently. And let me tell you something. Back when I'm going to eat the – there's an original one and a jalapeno one. I'm going to eat the jalapeno one while I let you guys
– I have not tried the jalapeno one yet.
Oh, and, dude, it's great.
I'm saving it for mid-app. Sometimes I need a little pick-me-up.
Little pick-me-up.
I haven't gotten mine yet, but I've never had a meat stick before.
Oh, okay. Let me tell you something. Back when I was in peak physical condition before I had children and success, when I was working out like a madman doing CrossFit, I could never get enough protein. You know, they say you're supposed to have 1 gram of protein for every pound you weigh. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you're supposed to eat 200 grams of protein a day. And that's fucking hard to do. It's really hard. You got to eat like 6 chicken breasts for lunch. Right. So get that. You want to get that prot, as they call it. And the beauty thing, oh my God, it's so good.
It's like what a mongoose eats.
Yeah,
like
dare I ask who the they in that source is?
People who are ripped and shredded, Matthew. See, this is the problem. A vegetarian like Matthew, he needs a meat stick. When you hug Matthew, it leaves an impression like a memory foam pillow because he doesn't get enough protein. But the beauty of this is like you just need a snack during the day. Instead of eating cookies or chips, you just grab a meat stick. And these Dauntless Snacks meat stick, the jalapeno is really good. It's got like a nice kick, but it's not overpowering if you like too much spice. I made fun of Matthew. You should check this out, and they're giving discount. Go to dauntlesssnacks.com, use the code GCNNASH to get 10% off your order. They got subscription boxes. Maybe you got somebody in your life that likes to pound the prot. Get a little Christmas gift for them.
They
put
just
some
gifted
of these
a
in
ton
our
of
stockings.
Subs in yeah. the chat
oh,
right now, too.
Oh, come on. That's
I
awesome.
I might get my Secret Santa some Dauntless Snacks.
If it's me, please. Sold. I love meat sticks. I think that they're a great snack. Like there's just times when I don't want chips or like pretzels. You know what I mean? It's like just a great snack sometimes.
And they're salty, you know, it fills that salty craving with also giving you the protein that you need.
Yeah.
I've said this many times over the years, but Joe, that is going on your tombstone. I love meat
I'm getting
sticks.
A really long tombstone cooking here. If Matthew's carving it. I just want to say thank you to Dauntless Snacks, seriously, because they sent
it's
us a huge
look like
box.
The Stanley Cup.
They sent us a huge box when they first went into business 2.5 years ago. It was around then, I think, about 2 years ago, and they were a member of the nation. They were just so thankful for. I think if memory serves, they basically said we started this because of the inspiration of you guys starting a business, you know, and it was just really awesome. And to have them come up and be like, we want to sponsor you after we did the Nation. Was just awesome. So thank you so much.
I met him too out in Denver. He came to one of Nick Shelton's stand-up shows, and he and Nick Shelton are hanging out now too, which is really funny.
They're pounding that prot together.
Yeah. It's great stuff. He's a really cool guy, and and I love the meat sticks as well. So
I mean, so Big D is working chat, and he just posts. Pound that prot, and then the link to Dauntless Snacks. I think we have a new tagline for Dauntless Snacks, and we'll give you that for free. Pound that prot.
I'm not even joking. That was so fucking good. I love things with jalapeno. Anyways, please check them out. It's just fantastic. We have sponsors now. I guess we should play some Pathfinder. Anything else? Philly tickets. Kate's going to be on the show. Matthew's fought. But we'll get to that later. The recap.
Take it to the recap, Kate.
This is a quick one. Kate, hit the music.
Yeah, got it.
All right.
On it.
Click.
Hit the robe. This is a quick one, actually. Last time, God, it was forever ago. 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago? Anyways, you finally bid farewell to all of those thralls that you saved from the Rasmiran Faith Barge. The mighty Edgelord and his crew bid farewell as they left to go to this little fishing village to return to their old lives, or perhaps, in some of their cases, start a new life. Except for one of them, O.J. Simpson, who was convinced to stay and join the crew of the Selen Starling. And I hope Paizo writers are listening and decide to bring the Selen Starling back into an adventure one day. And write O.J. Simpson into it.
I'm sure.
I think that's very likely is the word I'd use. Likely.
Did we establish that it's Simpson with a Y or something?
Yes.
So
yes.
Just being clear.
O-J-A-Y-S-Y-M-P-S-O-N.
O-J.
O.J. Simpson.
Like the O.J.'s, the band.
Right, like the O.J.'s.
Yeah.
So O.J.'s a part of the crew now with all those other weirdos.
The only thing that they have in common, which is just very coincidental, is that he refers to himself as the juice.
Right.
It's just a coincidence. That, right?
It's juice. It's juice like J-O-O-S-E if you're right. actually scripting
right.
it.
Right.
Come on, leave the juice alone. So the juice, he's part of the crew. After that, you continued your journey down the Selen until you saw these three well-dressed people waving at you from the far side of the shore. So you approached cautiously, having been burned now several times on your journey. And they told you that they were heading in the direction of Taldor, which is where you're heading. But they were attacked and robbed, and now they're seeking safe passage. You feel like they're on the level, so you agree to help. They tell you that their employer is holed up just up the way in a barn with what little stuff is remaining from the attack on them. So Skywin, your captain, tells the five of you to go investigate to make sure everything's on the up and up. So you go there and you find this handsome fat guy asleep in the hayloft. Turns out it's a man named Emilio Daldemain, the rogue senator that the Grey Gardener was looking for when you stopped in Debril. So you corner, you're like, you're that guy they're looking for. And he tells you he has no idea why the Revolutionary Council wants him dead. But just as he found out that they were after him, he received this strange missive from some group known as the Stardust Augurs. And they say they want to help him out with his predicament and offer him refuge in the Verdurin Forest if he can get there. So he sends his wife and children ahead separately, knowing that his life is in danger, and he takes his three trusted employees with him to try and get down there. And they were, of course, attacked. So you agree. All right, come on. Come on, fatty. And he decides to come with you. And just as you're walking back to the boat, the Grey Gardener, Glower, shows up. Wouldn't you know it? As if it was written into the adventure.
Of all days.
Random D100 roll. And she shows up with two militia trackers. And it's like, all right, you give me him and we're cool. And you're like, no, fuck that. And so you fight. And we get all the rules right and you kill her. So now...
Recap done.
There it is. Kill the recap music, Kate.
Oh, okay, got it.
So now we pick up, we'll fade out of that scene as Glower's, the light goes from her eyes that you can't see behind the mask.
We remove the mask.
And she's beautiful and dead. She reminds you of your ex-wife.
I want, that's weird because about what I'm about to say, but Ethel Merman, I just want, for the record, dismembers the body and buries the Grey Gardener's pieces in various spots so they won't be traced back to them.
Okay. Oh, you guys idea. Watch that.
And I'll assist, actually. I will.
I'll help Aldo. Too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, there's a lot of enthusiasts, a lot of cadaver enthusiasts here.
I'll supervise.
Okay. But I'm going to use like an alchemical solution to dissolve the pieces of the body as they lay buried in the ground, like kimchi.
We get a plastic tub. We get a plastic tub in which to do it. Definitely yeah. plastic.
Yep.
I'm gonna try to take her eyeballs in my cloak.
She was beautiful.
Without you seeing.
She's very disfigured now and buried in several places around the barn. So we fade out of that horrible, horrible scene.
It's like, you really like how you tried to gloss over it, and we just started just like all of us like really, sawing into a body. Yeah,
like a pack of hyenas, we just tear into his body.
The last thing you see is just Eris with the decapitated head of Glower scooping out the eyeballs. We fade from there. We come back up on the ship. Obviously, the thralls are gone, but now you have Senator Emilio Daldemain and his three companions. Skywin was happy at the prospect of having them aboard, thinking that maybe they had a little money, but now knowing that they're wanted and conveniently robbed of their riches, she's now begrudgingly still planning to sleep out under the stars in the hopes that, just like he told you, the senator will be able to make good on his promises to give you all these rewards once he reaches safety. So it's a little more cramped, but certainly not as bad as it was when all those people are on there. There's four new people. Meanwhile, there are still three of the seven gifts that you've been taking to the dreamland, taking trips to the dreamlands to try and inquire. There's still three of those seven gifts out there. You have three, and you lost the chance at getting the fourth one. In the research that you've been doing now that you have several wise magic users at your disposal, seems to be taking you in search of a heartstone belonging to a night hag, this soul trader and ambassador to where, from where, you don't know, known as Quiviandra. What do you guys want to do? You want to keep doing your research into this and try and take that trip?
Yep.
Yeah, I think we said it was tonight, or was it tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, I believe.
Yeah, but we still have to do the research, right? We need to get the phrase.
God, I forgot the most important thing. You guys leveled up at the end of last episode.
Leveled up, you say?
Eight. Yes. This is amazing. Is this your first level up in Tui?
Me?
We know it's yours, but have we leveled up at all in this book? I don't think we have.
I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
There were a couple shows I was going to level you up, but I forgot. Oh. And then months passed, and it was just never a right time.
I think it is the first time.
I think it is. Okay. Well, you guys, you earned it. Let's talk about this level up as we do. Joe, sorry to keep you awake. Who wants to start? Matthew, do you want to talk about Eris's, what the fuck's your name? Ethel. Ethel's level up.
I wouldn't be able to talk about Eris's, but I can. Yeah, I can talk about Ethel. So yeah,
that'd be fine.
Ethel gets at this level. Ethel gets a fighter feat and a skill feat.
Ooh,
no, a nice.
It is nice. In fact, and well, let's get the skill feat out of the way, because the skill feats there's not a ton of great skill feats for me. So okay. Joe recommended one that sounded great, where I can train myself in a new skill, but I don't have the intelligence for that. So
you're stupid.
I'm stupid. So
You're stupid, Matthew.
Because you're stupid, Matthew.
Because I'm stupid. I'm sorry. Yes, of course. So I just took battle medicine, which is useful. And I figured, Ethel's seen some things.
Do you have any wisdom?
I have a little wisdom.
Do you have any? Okay.
And I have,
you're trained in medicine?
I'm trained in medicine.
Oh, sweet.
So I took battle medicine. But then I had two amazing, actually spectacular options for a fighter feat. And I'm really, really torn. I think I made my decision, but, okay. So, but here's the one I didn't take. Okay. And it's Blind Fight. Blind Fight in 2E is spectacular.
Is it really?
Yeah. So here, this is one I didn't take. But Blind Fight, if you're fighting an opponent that's hidden from you, or you don't need to succeed at a flat check to target concealed creatures, you are not flat-footed to creatures that are hidden from you, unless you're flat-footed for them for reasons other than the hidden condition, and you only need to make a successful DC 5 flat check to target a hidden creature.
Oh, that's great.
And as you know, this was flat checks have been bane of Ethel's existence.
Yeah.
So, invisible creatures are awful. So I was really, really torn. I was really, really torn. But then I read about Flensing Strike.
Oh, so wow.
That sounds good.
Flensing. Wow. That's a great Moby Dick vocab word.
Yes, flensing. Flensing slice, actually. So this builds on
that'd be great if we go up against any sperm whales.
Yes, sperm whales or trouble. Cold cuts.
Right.
You made it weird.
So this builds on my double slice ability. If I hit with both attacks, I flens the target, making it bleed and creating a weak spot. Takes 1d8 persistence bleed damage per weapon damage dice of whichever weapon has the higher, the most damage dice that I'm using, and becomes flat-footed, and its resistances to any physical damage types are reduced by 5.
Wow. Great.
Until my next turn.
Wow.
I was like, well, that's cool. So I took that.
Awesome. That's very cool. Yeah, the feats, when you get to unlock these high-level feats, they do sound pretty cool. What about you, Joe? What's Atticus? Some new spells?
Yeah, he's got new spells, 8th level feat, and 8th level skill feat. I'm pumped. I am pumped with this level up. So let's start with a bang on the class feat. there's some really good options, but I went with Advanced School Spell, which I think is just awesome for the way that I like to play and my vision of Atticus. So your Advanced School Spell is you take a feat that unlocks your next focus spell, focus power of your, not only your class, but your school that you took. So I am an illusionist. And so I unlock at eighth level as a focus power, invisibility cloak. And so I spend a focus point and I can just go invisible like a second level spell. And, I can recharge that with a 10 minute rest. And I think it's a 10 minute rest. And
does that take two actions or no?
Yeah. I believe it would work like the spell. So it would take two actions. But yeah, he can just whoom, vanish. Cool. I mean, it's just like having a vanish all the time. Plus, I got another focus point. So I can do it twice without having to rest. And I have another thing I think that synergizes well with it, which is linked magical focus for my focus on my my magical object that allows me to like cast one spell I've already cast per day. When I use that, it recharges a focus point. So all these things are like loading onto each other to allow me to be really go invisible whenever I want, which I think is perfect for an illusionist.
That's cool.
For my spells, I'm not going to say what my spells are. They'll come out in when we play.
Did you get a new level of spell?
I did not. Okay. I was already casting fourth level spells. I got another fourth level spell slot, which is great. and I learned two new fourth level spells. So they're all high level spells that'll come out eventually.
Nice.
I got a skill feat and I'm actually really psyched about this one because same thing. I looked at it and I had the like fourth level wizard skill feat options or spellcaster options. And I was just like, I don't really like this. I'm never going to use it. And maybe this is something I'll never use, but I was really happy with skill training, which allows me to take a skill from untrained to trained. And I went with thievery, which I don't think we have a lot of. And it boosted my thievery from a +4 to a +14.
Holy shit.
Just making it trained because I got my proficiency and I have an 18 dex. So like it just.
Oh, that's great.
Synergized really well. And so it just gives you a lot more options in a party without a rogue.
That's kind of fun. I mean, obviously with traps and stuff, having that, sometimes you need to be of a certain ilk, but having that bonus is going to help you actually detect it. But what's interesting is like in Pathfinder First Edition, if you spent a feat on boosting a skill, like that was a big investment because like there's so many spells, feats that boost stuff that's super useful. Getting that +10 to acrobatics is like very specific. You're giving up dodge and other things like that. Having the skill feat is a nice addition.
Yeah, I agree. And I love the jump. It makes such narrative sense to me too, not just mechanical sense. The jump from untrained to trained is massive.
Yeah.
You know, the jump from trained to master is a little bump. Master to trained to expert is a little bump. Expert to master is a little bump, but the biggest bump is getting your proficiency bonus, which is based on your level. Going from untrained to trained is huge. That's really interesting.
Just to like train to master and master, like that's more about what the kind of tasks that you can unlock by doing that rather than the bonus.
You're getting better and better. But if you are just untrained at something, you can't do it. You know what I mean?
What about Aldo? I think Aldo's due for something juicy. Or did you take a little dip?
I did not take a dip. It's funny. I leveled up, I think like 2 months ago because I was trying to learn something about how Pathfinder works or something. so I can't really remember. But the one thing that I did get, I don't think anything too exciting. I took toughness, as a feat.
Nice.
So my recovery roll instead of 11, plus dying value is 9 plus dying value, so that helps a little bit.
Oh, nice.
I took the calculated splash ability, which as a bomber, instead of using the splash damage of whatever bomb I'm throwing, I use my intelligence bonus instead. So instead of +1 or sometimes +2, it's +4.
Oh, that's splash damage. Huge.
That's great. Which is really, really nice. And I can read lips. I took the lip read.
That's cool. So. Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
Especially as like this campaign develops. Yeah, there's a lot of like cosmic beasts, but there also seems to be a lot of like, who do you know? And like nobility and like, there's that opportunity for some intrigue. That's really cool.
Yeah,
or totally. If you see a Shagoth just whispering to a hunting horror, you'll know what he's saying.
Hey, you owe me $20.
Hey, the $20 for that back alley blowjob.
Sorry. Doesn't seem that like
that's what the Shagoth Shagoth was giving BJs in the alley?
To the hunting horror. Sorry.
It's your game. You're running it.
You're running it. It's your world, Troy.
It's my
world.
We're
just living in it. We're just playing.
It's my fantasy. Kate, what about Eris? You had a long run at seventh level, so I'm sure you were waiting for this.
Yeah, I was really excited to add on more stuff.
Because you had already mastered where you were.
Joe, I heard you say you got a spell, and I was like, fuck.
Oh, you forgot about spells.
And I thought that it was just I got another spell slot for number three. So I was like, oh, okay, I get another spell slot. I didn't realize that I got another spell. But I'll just
start. You probably get two new spells.
Are you serious? I'm pretty sure it's just one.
Is it just one for a witch?
Anyway, the second you said that, the entire time you guys were talking, I was like, oh, I gotta pick a spell right now. But for the feats, skill feat, I got, like everyone else, a skill and a class feat. I chose quick recognition so I can recognize spells swiftly. Any spell using a skill, which I'm a master of as a free action, which is a cult.
Oh, wow.
So oh, great.
I figured that could be useful.
What was that spell? Okay.
And then I, for my class one, I had to take Eldritch Nails.
Oh, cool.
My nails, they're already supernaturally long and sharp, but they gain like an unarmed attack that deals 1d6 slashing damage just the way they are. And they're in the brawling group. They have agile and unarmed traits. And then I can also etch runes into them. So I did. I spent a little coin that I have. And I etched the striking rune into it. So it actually does 2d6 slashing
damage. Oh, nice.
Where'd you buy those runes?
I don't know. Well, I'm gonna buy them.
Did you stop at the rune store near the barn?
I plan on finding a rune store somewhere.
Ethel actually dabbles in a little rune selling. I'm kidding.
Oh. Maybe you sent away. Maybe it took 4 to 6 weeks and they're just arriving.
They just arrived. Level up.
You send in a couple gold pieces and a proof of purchase. And you get it.
A little and I'm like, you see me in the back of the boat, like gluing on fake nails on top of my current ones. Like, yeah.
Lee press on runes?
Press on rune nails.
Lee press on runes.
But for spells, so yeah. Like
confirmed,
I just quickly,
Kate. You get two spells, two new spells.
Are you serious? Okay, well, I didn't pick out the second one yet, but like just off the bat. What?
We'll wait.
Oh, wait?
We'll wait for you to find the second spell.
Let's take five. I'll eat another meat stick.
But like for the first one, just off the bat, I was looking through them and gaseous form looks really cool. So the target transforms into a vaporous state. In this state, the target is amorphous and loses any item bonus. And but it takes it gains resistance 8 to physical damage and is immune to precision damage. You can't like cast spells, but you can like fly and slip through tiny cracks. So like for Eris, I'm just kind of like new ways to like get into children's bedrooms and then eat them.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, thematically, it's great for you. It's also a great way to run away, like if you need to get away.
Yeah.
Terrific escape spell, for sure.
Get to places where we're not allowed. So I might take that. For my second spell, I'm just going to pretend like I'm being mysterious and not telling you.
Whoa.
That's awesome. Just smart. Research it after the session. Don't rush that choice. It's a big choice. Yeah.
Don't pen in gaseous form. Just pencil it in.
Pencil. All right. Everyone at home, if you're keeping track like a baseball game, just pencil in gaseous form, fly out to center field. Great. And now, Sydney, text me all your updates and we'll read them aloud.
Yeah, no, Sydney, link your character sheet in chat.
Post it on Twitter. All right.
But hurry.
Don't post it on Twitter. Hurry.
All right. So we want to take a little Dreamlands excursion ritual. So you spend the rest of the day meeting Emilio and his three buddies, and get to know them. They seem cool. They're fine. They kind of keep to themselves. They very graciously accept Skywind's cabin. And Cowan's like, this guy better have money.
All of a sudden, she sounded like a pirate.
This guy better have money. Or I'll throw him overboard. And then the next night, you do the
dream. Did the Grey Gardener have any cool stuff, by the way?
Oh my God, I did have this, yeah. We always forget. Usually we're live and, you know, a couple cocktails and we forget to, like, search people. But I did write down the gear. So the militia trackers had 20 crossbow bolts each, a crossbow. They each had +1 kukris.
Mm. Ooh.
That's awesome.
I'll take
that's
one
great.
Yeah, seriously, Matthew.
I'll take one. Oh, I actually don't think I can use it, but.
Well, +1 kook. They both.
I'll take one as a souvenir.
Just to tell
they make
you,
great souvenirs. They make great gifts, actually.
Yeah, put it over the mantelpiece once I settle down.
Exactly. I can carve you a little stand for it.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
They each had leather armor, and they each had greater tracker's goggles.
Very cool. Very cool.
I just want to remember what those did, because I feel like it was something.
Oh, we're going to go out on a limb here and say that it's a bonus to survival checks.
It is, to sense direction and track. And if you fail track, you can try again after 30 minutes instead of an hour. Who cares? But with greater tracker's goggles, you get a +2.
You know, it's so funny. All of these goddamn abilities, I always think that they're cool. I always want to involve them. And in playing Pathfinder for a decade, we have never once had to track a quarry through the desert, through the jungle, through the forest, through the plains, and follow their tracks and hours at a time. You know what I mean? It has just once come up. And it sounds
tracks
like a really
never,
cool ability.
They never indicate any direction that anything went. They're just going in all directions. Every time we look at tracks, there's no indication of where thing went. Yeah.
Well, you got those stupid goggles. And then the Grey Gardener had a composite longbow, 20 arrows, had a, oh man, studded leather armor, a force shield, which you should look that up. It's a magical shield. I don't know. And no real shield wielders here, but a force shield, you can activate it with an action once per day, and it surrounds you with a bubble of force that gives you resistance 5 to physical for 1 minute.
Ooh.
As long as you're holding the
shield. I think all of us want that.
Yeah.
So she did that, like, actually, I don't even think I had my shield out, but anyways, I had it on my sheet of things I could have done. Anyways, pretty cool. Force shield, and then potion of flying. A religious symbol of Norgorber.
Oh, nice.
Or as I used to call him, Knob Gobbler.
Knob Gobbler, you actually did.
Back when we played the Pathfinder adventure card game. And here's the best one. I think this is right up Ethel's alley. A +2 striking short sword.
Ooh. Oh, come on with this.
Wow.
Ethel,
that is an unbelievable upgrade for Matthew.
Ethel, what do you have? You're a two-weapon guy, right? What are your two weapons right now?
I have a +1 striking warhammer.
Right.
And a +1 striking returning hatchet.
Oh, right.
But I believe get rid of that shitty, shitty warhammer.
I believe the striking is actually transmuted via my my rings. So I have these cool, you have these doubling rings. So they basically you wear a ring on each hand, and it basically any a rune or a property you have on one weapon can be doubled in the other hand.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's cool.
It's very cool.
You know those rings that are like doubling rings?
So what was it? A +2 striking short sword?
+2 striking short John.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
How about, Ethel, you take the big sword and I'll take one of the little tiny swords.
You want the kukri?
Can I have one of the kukris, please?
The kukris? Did you add another syllable to that? The kukri.
Kukri.
Do you want me to, like, whittle you a little stand for you to put it on your mantle when you're not using it?
Yes. You know, I do have a shrine, which I have not set up on this ship yet, for when I do my little ritual. So, like, if you make me a little stand for my kukri, yeah, I'll put it in my shrine.
Awesome.
Great. I'll do this for you. We just gotta find the wood, and then you'll find a good, like a nice ash, and I'll make a do a thing. It'll be beautiful. Beautiful.
Awesome.
I'm so excited.
And so the heroes.
Oh my god.
Sword out their new
game. Force shield is amazing.
Yeah, I want it.
For no one in this party.
It's pretty good for Ethel, right?
Well, yeah, but like, you know, you're kind of designed around your two weapon fighting.
Do you know that I don't think with the force shield you need a free hand, right?
It is a shield. It's a shield.
Oh, it's an actual shield.
It's a magical shield that has this once a day ability.
Skywin says, I don't want any longbows on my ship. And she snaps it over her knee and throws it in the water.
Yeah, I put that on my sheet in anticipation of winning the roll off.
The only reason I did that is because Sydney wrote, I hope someone remembers that I use a bow. No composite longbows on my ship.
It's like Joan Crawford.
No more wire.
No longbows. Wire hackers.
Does anyone want this religious symbol?
Take it.
Thanks. That's
it's all about you.
Of course.
Thank you.
What does the symbol of Norgorber look like? Norgorber. He's a Taldan deity. Did you know that? The Taldan deity of thievery and assassination.
Oh, cool.
That's cool.
It's a weird god to be a fan
right?
of.
For this person to have a symbol of?
Yeah, that's like, it's the patron god of assassins, like the Red Mantis assassins, I think, or Norgorber worshippers.
Yeah, I mean, she's a like an executioner, essentially.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And the symbol is a one-eyed mask. The symbol of Norgorber is like a black mask with one starry eye.
Oh, this is interesting. The short sword actually is not a huge upgrade, even at plus two.
Wow.
But the biggest thing it has going for it is that it's agile, which
yeah.
actually did.
Oh, that's big. That well, is yeah, very so big. That's better than your Warhammer.
Oh,
right?
Well, my hatchet is also agile.
Tricky. Oh, is it an agile warhammer? Is that what you said?
It is it's an agile hatchet.
Okay. Well, you should switch out for
So it's just a plus one. That's all it is. So if you want, you could just sell it. We might just sell it.
I'll hold on to it for now, but when we get to town, I'll consider selling it and adding it to the group gold.
All right, can we add it to a list? Is anybody keeping a list right now?
I have it on my sheet.
Okay.
But you should keep a list. I can't keep.
I'm running the show. I'm running the whole fucking tech. Come on, somebody do a list. Kate.
I'll email the stuff to you guys. Don't forget that potion of flying.
Potion of flying.
Yeah, that's really valuable. I would give that to Ethel, probably. Or I was going to call you Alfonso. Oh,
Alfonso. Remember side quest?
side quest.
To Alfonso.
Or to Aldo.
I think Aldo is actually probably the best.
That'd be pretty cool.
It would be cool.
Aerial bombing.
If Suki was a dinosaur that could also fly.
What do you
think, Suki? Yes, that would be a great idea.
That would be a great idea. My dress fell off again. Whoops. I'm naked again from the back and side in a tasteful way, anime style.
No, she wears pajamas under her robes.
Okay.
She's a layered robust.
Layered robust.
She's an unlayered robust.
I'm looking at the chat, which I know I'm not supposed to do, but and also in the core rulebook, page 580. Apparently, you can transfer runes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. God, I didn't even think of that.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah, you can totally do that.
I'll look into it, and then maybe I'll be able to transfer one of the plus two rune to my Warhammer.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's cool.
And then you can give one of the. Are both of your existing weapons have runes on them, or they just functionally have runes on them because of?
Yeah, like is one of the mundane when it comes out of your grasp?
I have to look. I can't remember what I decided.
I wanna be your Warhammer.
Because you could give one of the plus one runes to Kate for her fingernails.
Oh, my name.
Yes. So my hatchet is actually not plus one or striking. It's just a returning hatchet, but by virtue of my rings, it becomes plus one striking. I guess.
Mm. All right.
Cool. Well, I'm 90% sure you're doing something wrong. So I'm sure we'll find out.
I'm reading the book right now.
Oh, I'm reading the book.
Let's read Count Lal's books to learn more about this next
Shaka Kaka
gift. You've been reading about this Ambassador's Heartstone. You know that Lal sought the Heartstone, a very specific hag, this ambassador and soul trader named Queviandra. You learn about the normal properties of a night hag's Heartstone. All these night hags, they have these Heartstones. And you know what? I think I told you that you learn what the properties are, but I never actually told you what the properties are. Each Heartstone is powered by the spirit of a specific night hag. It's if it's separated from her for 24 hours, or if she's been dead for 24 hours, it becomes a non-magical gemstone. A Heartstone allows the hag to use additional occult innate spells, such as Ethereal Jaunt, Bind Soul, and Shadow Blast. And with the night hag's Heartstone, it retains its magical properties for a month outside of her possession, not only a day, which for you guys is great, because when you're holding on to it, once you get back to the Dreamlands, you could use those powers should you get it from her. You found a register of extraplanar diplomats listing Queviandra as an ambassador to the city of Dailoth Lean, which is a grim city of basalt and one of the Dreamlands' most notorious havens for vice. And according to a diary brimming with spiteful rumors, Queviandra has an unnecessarily large retinue of retainers and an insufferably impervious manner. And you remember seeing a night hag that matched this description while you were traversing the caravanserai during your first trip to the Dreamlands. So, you enact the ritual. You pass the staircase around, hoping that it will work. The staircase goes from one hand to another, growing as it reaches the third set of hands, growing even more as it reaches the fourth. You already said goodbye to Xantar and Suki because they ate some bad fish and they're not feeling well. And they said, you go.
Our ability to improv reasons they don't go is really poor.
Really bad.
Really poor.
They're bad always fish. Just sick.
They're sick.
There's a lot of fish that you're eating. They had some bad
fish. No matter how tolerant they are, doesn't mean they can't make you sick.
Right. An intolerant one must have slipped in there.
Must have slipped in there.
Oh, it's terrible.
I've had intolerant fish.
I actually would love to do, how long does it take for them to do the research, Troy?
Well, you've been doing it for about a week and you're ready to enact the ritual. Do you want a flashback?
I would love a flashback. So it's a crafting check. It's a crafting check to transfer the wound.
Slow it. Since you got the rune, it's been like a day, right? Like it's one day of research, right? Since the encounter with the... it's not like we got this rune a week ago. It's not like it's been a week since that encounter.
It takes one day.
Perfect.
Yeah, you're good. You
want to make that I'm looking at it. The only thing I'm having trouble finding is the DC. So it does cost money. I'm going to need to borrow
I'll set
cash.
It. 40.
It's the DC of the crafting check to transfer room is determined by the item level of the rune being transferred. So that's all it says.
Well, the item level of the rune is pretty obvious. Like, just what's the level of the rune?
Weapon potency plus two is item level 10.
Right, so then Troy would just... It's based on the, level 10 things all have a DC. Like level 10 has a DC in 2E. It's in the game mastery part.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I don't know what it is either off the top of my head.
Level-based DCs for 10 is DC 27.
That sounds dead on.
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to wait a minute then because I only have a plus 10 to my crafting skill and perhaps we can find someone who can help us.
Mm.
You could use a hero point.
Could use a hero point. I might need that hero point though.
So as you're, it's a
are you willing to die for your rune?
As you're trying to craft that, Skywind comes over and says, "No runes on my ship!" Throws it in the water.
I mean, she's truly a badass if she just broke a rune over her knee. she just Bo Jackson to Rune?
And then we come back to the handing of the staircase. And the last one that touches it is Aldo. He's the most wise. And the staircase is just huge in your hands, and you let it fall to the floor. There's a staircase leading down yet again into the sea. You walk down.
Oh no. Is Eris going to pass?
Is this how it always is?
Oh.
It seems like you're walking into the sea, but really you're just walking into darkness.
Eris.
Feels like you would be going into water.
He looks, he can see the trepidation in her face. It is only an illusion. Don't believe it. We are not walking into water. In fact, we are escaping the water. Just close your eyes if you must.
Okay. Closing my eyes, because I don't believe that doesn't make any sense to me.
And you can also tell her that these madnesses do not take hold of you when you're in the Dreamlands. So Ethel will not be fatigued. Atticus will not have his cognitive dissonance, and Harris will not have her insufferable fear of water.
Phasylophobia. It's thalassophobia. It's like made up of Greek words. I should be able to say this.
Yeah.
It's a fear of deep water, like big water. I have it. Like Caitlin has it.
In real life?
Yeah. Dude, big water?
It's funny. Did I ever tell you?
You said Caitlin has it, and my wife also does not not love deep ocean settings.
Hmm. Did I ever tell you my deep water fear story? It's very quick.
You didn't tell me it, but I heard it on one of the podcasts.
I knew we talked about it at some point.
And I was like, listening to...
I have no fear of this stuff. Water doesn't bother me at all. I can swim. What does it matter how deep the water is? I can swim. I got off this boat in the middle of, I think it was Bermuda. Oh, no, it was in Hawaii. And we were snorkeling, and they drove us out to this island. And halfway between the main island and this other island we went to, they were like, all right, we're just going to get out here so you can look at how deep this is. And I was like, awesome. Like, didn't even think. And I got out, and you're floating there, and they just dropped a coin down. And it was so clear, and the sun was shining. And I could see that coin drop, for no exaggeration, like more than 60 seconds. Solid.
Oh, horrible.
And then I started to feel this overwhelming sense of like this maw below me, like this infinite sort of abyss that could just pull me in. And I was like, okay, I gotta get out. It was really weird mental reaction that I had to it.
It's very, your like very lizard brain instincts.
Yeah.
I
started seeing the size of it and the depth, and I just got really weirded out, and I had to get out of there.
It's like standing on the edge of a cliff or something.
Yeah.
It's like, so horrifying to me.
Did being on the boat alleviate that? Or
yeah,
were you just,
as soon as I got on
the
boat, I was fine. Like, I don't know. It was just in that moment, it's like something clicked about how really unknowable this is, right? Like how it was really scary.
Was it in Cthulhu Sleeps or whatever?
Relay.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Staircase. You guys walk down. As usual, as you start to walk down, you look behind you, and the boat is no longer there. It's just stairs going down. You look, you don't even see your companions traveling with you. Once you enter that staircase, you enter this extra-dimensional space, this pathway between planes of awake and asleep. Your bodies remain behind on the boat to be diddled by weird crew members.
Aww.
As you start to continue down, you start to smell smoke. Smoke that is like fruit-scented and spice. Spice, like a very strong, pungent spice smells. In fact, that haze begins to cloud your vision as you continue downward, and to eventually find yourself walking downstairs into a spacious round room. There's a vaulted ceiling above you that's barely visible in this haze of blue, mostly blue but multicolored smoke. There's soft round couches covering the floor with several golden braziers, these ornate hookahs, small little tables covered in all sorts of things. You see the wall around you is just curves, and every so often there's a curtained area behind it that you can't see, and then more wall, and then another curtained area, like these small little alcoves hidden from the main room. You look around and there are people all over the place, several different ancestries, all basically humanoid. In fact, it's mostly populated by these sullen-looking humans that are relaxing in this common room and partaking in all sorts of recreational drugs. You see three or four scantily clad men and women circulating the room, just politely selling these insidious substances to the patrons, like, what about this? And they'll give some money and then be handed something, and maybe they'll teach them how to smoke it or insert it. Let's go to the map real quick. Let's go to the Dave M. map with New Pawns by Angeline!
Oh, Angeline!
So Atticus is unchanged, but we have a new Aldo.
What?
Oh, new cool. Aldo has Werner on his neck.
Oh, that's awesome!
Hold on.
Oh.
Hold on. You gotta... Can you put Aldo up again?
Yep.
I want everybody to see it on stream.
Oh.
Wow.
Werner.
That's awesome and disgusting.
They sent these to me this morning. I was like, this is perfect, Angeline! So, new Aldo, and then new Eris, or Eris, actually.
Whoa, that is way creepier than I originally imagined, Eris.
Look at my poppet.
Look at the little poppet, and of course the neck, mouth, and chicken hands.
I like the blue tongue.
Yeah, the blue tongue. That's
great. And of course, the neck, mouth, and chicken hands.
And then this one is a sneaky favorite here.
Oh, wow.
The Merman.
Amazing.
Amazing. Angeline. Wow.
Dude, that is phenomenal.
You look like Rusty Venture's dad, and from Venture Brothers. He's going mountain climbing. That's what it looks like.
I love that.
That's amazing.
Isn't that great? I have Suki, too, but...
Bravo, Angeline.
Seriously.
So, as you're taking this all in, and you know, as usual, you have to imagine this, the map is much larger than what we're actually seeing. You're seeing about a quarter of the room. If it's a big wide circle, this common area, these alcoves are all around this circle near the staircase, and there are these little setups with people milling about all over. But standing out amongst the crowd in front of you is a rather commanding presence, surrounded by a decent-sized retinue. You see laying on a mahogany and velvet divan a red-skinned woman with elaborately coiffed hair and a curvaceous form draped in an expensive and partially see-through fabrics. She also has, like, two ram's horns coming out of her head. In fact, one of the attendants is, like, oiling the horns so that they glimmer in the blue light of the room. There's a lot going on in here, but it's a very chill atmosphere because of the drugs. And she notices you immediately as you step into the room, because you don't look like anyone else there and you seem to have your bearings about you. Also, I imagine Eris's neck mouth gains a lot of attention wherever you go.
It's not always visible. I have my cloak on.
Oh, so maybe she doesn't see it, but she senses. She senses the neck. She maybe motions to one of the people near her, whispers in her ear, and then that woman scurries over to you. It's a tiefling woman, in fact. Comes up to Atticus and says, Ambassador, how does she talk?
Ambassador Quiviandra has noticed you and requests the pleasure of an introduction.
Oh, then we shall not keep her waiting. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
And she walks back to the couch.
I'm glad Atticus knew these traditions.
Right. When in Dailathlene, you walk over. Oh, I forgot to pull the image of her, but the pawn that I stole off the internet is pretty accurate. Just look. I don't want to zoom into it because I just grabbed it off Google. But she's got those ram horns, red skin. I'll try and get an image up when you guys start role-playing. But she brings you over, and there's all these people all around her. And she just kind of disperses them. Leave us! And the crowd that's, like, really, really close to her moves away. And she's like, come closer. I can tell. Yes, what do you say?
I was just going to say, we come closer. I didn't know if you were waiting.
No, I'm...
Do you come closer?
Stalling to think of what to say. Good evening, friends. I can tell by your wide-eyed looks and general comportment that you are strangers here to Dailathlene. You're also not the sort of dissolute addicts otherwise prevalent in this den. Where are you from?
That is a complicated question.
We have all the time in the world, my friend. Please regale me with tales of your homeland or world.
Well, Aldo sort of looks around and says, I'm from somewhere very far away, a southern land, a great continent, full of deserts, rainforest jungles, and strange creatures.
Oh, that sounds magnificent. I too am from far away. Many of these people are. And what about you, rat person?
Oh, we have that in common. Aldo, Casimir, and I. Also from the desert I was born. In the warrens beneath a great city called Kandira.
Oh, Kandira, yes. I have heard of such a place, though have never visited. And you, young lady, you have a strange look in your eye. West do you hail?
West do you
hail? West? Such a strange accent.
This is the part when we'd be hanging out in Troy's apartment when he would do that. We'd be like, you are such a fucking geek. And then someone would punch him in the arm as hard as he could.
Oh, guys, roleplay. Guys, I'm just roleplaying with my friends.
You asked me to run this game.
She talks different, see?
Yeah, what he would do is find the image of the character and just hold up the image in front of his face and do that for us.
Yes, he would actually do
creepy.
That.
It's true.
Oh, God. Or do a gun high. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, see, my God.
On the edge of the world.
Where's do you hell, woman?
Woman? Oh, I'm from the Manor Wastelands.
Oh, that sounds like a delightful place.
Yeah.
Do they have any... available real estate?
I mean, I guess so. It's not really like a hot market.
A cold weather place?
Very variable weather. You never know what's going to happen day to day. It's a wild place.
It sounds lovely. And you, young man. Oh, you are a strapping son of a gun, aren't you? What's your story?
Well, to begin with, I was born in the River Kingdoms.
Ah, yes. Never.
We moved around a lot. You know, Dad was looking for work. Mom was looking for work. It was just one of those things. Is that all you need to know? Or you want me to go on?
No, that's enough. Okay. It's more than I wanted.
All right, well. Excuse me.
I found a picture of myself. There
yeah.
I am.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Hold
on. Like Elvira hair.
Hello.
Oh, wow.
She kind of looks like Bea Arthur with ram horns.
And she told me that I looked different and weird. My eyes looked weird.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't help but notice she doesn't have any irises. Only
weird, recognize weird. I see some dots in there.
Those are pupils.
She looks like Augra from Dark Crystal a little bit, with the horns and the hair.
It's like Bride of Frankenstein hair.
Yeah.
Anyways, I am an ambassador here in Dylathlene. You may call me Quaviandra. So, we know where you're from. Why are you here? Are you here to partake in some of the delicious vices we have here in this den?
Maybe, but what kind of vices do you have available? Is there a menu of some kind?
Yes, there is Flayleaf, of course, it's very popular. Or if you are into the harder stuff, perhaps you could try Shiver. Make your hair stand up, and I don't mean the ones on your head.
Ethel looks around just to see if we're going to be partaking.
No, I'm afraid that at the moment we are a bit out of our league in that respect.
Yeah, we're on the job, you see.
Yes, indeed. We are working, as it were. We seek a powerful gift.
A powerful gift?
A hearthstone.
And she pauses. A hearthstone, you say? If you have come to attempt to kill me like the others, then I can't imagine you'd be so bold as to just ask about it.
No, in fact, there is no desire on our part at all. Is it?
That's just what a killer would say.
Do I look like a killer? So small, so ineffective. I've been told this my whole life. No, we come begging. We are humble in your very presence. We are afraid this hearthstone is something that we so desperately need to save our own lives. Is there any way?
Why would it save your lives? Explain to me why you seek this.
We came under the power of a count, a man who took us in and proceeded to annihilate our minds, even giving us a level of amnesia that is only now just beginning to wear off, and as a part of it we remembered him oh so vaguely. Do you possibly have any memory of a human man, a noble, moving through these parts?
This is a quick question. Yes. Is this something that, like, do the Dreamlands just, like, repeat and shit? Like, would people not remember someone coming and killing them and taking their item? Do they just, like, revive? Like, do we know how it would work here?
I think you've done enough study at this point to know about the Dreamlands without having to roll dice. No, it isn't like a repetitive cycle, but time does move strangely. Like, you could take a trip somewhere, come back, go back the next day, and years could have passed. Mm. So time does move strongly. So knowing that, there's a chance that, if Laos did come here, he came here years ago or like days ago. Like, it's just, there's no way of really knowing because of the way time flows. But when you mention that, has she seen a human noble? She says, no, not particularly. But in the past few weeks, I have been the target of several assassination attempts. Perhaps this noble was involved. Poisoned food. Delivery of a cursed robe. Are you robists by any way?
Well, rather a personal question, but I am in fact a layered robist.
I was given a cursed robe as an anonymous gift. Luckily, I snuffed it out. But then there was an ambush where they succeeded in stealing my heartstone, but not killing me. No, in fact, I laid to waste the entire group, except for the one that got away with my jewel.
Perhaps this noble you seek was behind these attempts on my life.
Very possibly. And it is he we seek. And believe me, if we find him, we have no intentions of allying with him at all. This could be a great revenge for you. If you could tell us more details of who this was that took it, describe this person, and perhaps we could track them down.
I have sent my best out to try and find this creature. By all accounts, it was some mercenary who is now lost to the wind. But I do believe I may still be able to help you, because you see, I have replaced my original heartstone with a new one. For someone in my line of work can never be without this very special gift. And I would even perhaps be open to giving it to you if you could help me with another problem of mine. Come closer.
Is that the thing you need help with?
Yes, I need you to come. I can't hear very well.
Done and done. There, I'm as close as I can get. If you'd hand it over, please.
And here is the heartstone.
Thank you very much.
Well, that by far was the easiest.
We rolled away.
I was expecting something quite a bit more difficult.
Come closer. I don't want everyone to hear this. Perhaps this count, this man you seek, was behind these assassinations. But either way, I believe someone in my retinue is responsible. Perhaps they fed my location to this man. Perhaps they have their own reasons for wanting me out of the picture. As you can see, my retinue is rather large, and you look around, there's just like almost 24 people. But I have been using my powers to figure out who is the one, and I've narrowed it down to 3. There is this miserly steward named Amanetta. There's an astrologer and fortune teller named Dolfeth. What is so funny? Did you laugh at the name Dolfeth?
Could you spell that?
It's, I don't want to be offensive, but sometimes people have a lisp and then, you know, you don't know if it's actually with the TH or if it's just an S.
Dolfeth. D-O-L. D-O-L. Feth.
No, see. No, it's interesting. It's a similar conundrum with the Aeris Aerith thing that in Final Fantasy, which we have here, our friend named Aerith. So, very ironic that this is coming up again.
D-O-L-T-H-E-T-H, Dolfeth. There's also a musician in my employ named Kavriki. Anyway, I have a private room right over there.
She points with her long finger at the... I'll ping it on the map here.
Over there. Take them, one by one. Interview them. Snuff out the assassin. And inform me. And the heartstone is yours. No questions asked.
Clarifying question.
Quiet, keep your voice down.
Clarifying question.
Hulking chunk of man.
I think that's a compliment, so thank you. When you say snuff
he's
out,
going to be single rather soon.
I actually, the paperwork's been signed. I am single.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was a dark day. It was dark. We don't need to get into it, but I there was a little...
Single, you say? Have you ever made love on a nightmare?
Well, let me ask you.
You should meet his ex-wife. Question answers itself.
Okay, have you ever looked into the eyes of another person and you know in your heart that they are your soulmate? You know it. And yet they want nothing to do with you?
Yes.
That is the nightmare, my friend.
You've sent shivers down my red spine.
Anyway, just wanted you question? To define...
Stop yelling!
Sorry. I wanted you to define snuff out, like, can I just kill them?
No, I want you to find out who they are. Don't worry, I will be taking care of them. find out which one of them is the bad duck in my troop. As the saying goes.
Is that a local expression?
It's a Dylath Lean expression. Find out which one is the bad duck in my troop.
Well, I'm from Utica, and I've never heard the expression. Bad duck.
And then tell me, and I will take care of them. Do not let them know why you are questioning them, but they will follow my commands.
So question them, but don't let them, like, know we're questioning them.
Oh, perhaps they are being hired. Perhaps they're being promoted. Considered for promotion. Mm. And we need to do an interview. He looks around.
Dolfeth. Sorry, I was so wrapped up trying to understand what you are saying.
Spit in my eye.
Dolfeth. I was trying to understand what you are saying. Fuck. I forgot what his station was again.
He is an astrologer. Astrologer. Fortune teller.
That is it.
Maybe. Yes. We're a consulting group that you've brought in to do the interview and,
in the herd, so to speak.
We're like the headhunters here. We're like a headhunter consulting group here to help you deal with your staffing and promotional needs.
We'll tell them that we're about to go hardcore and they can either agree to that or they can get 3 months severance.
They'll definitely choose the former. Yeah, they'll all have to fall in line and agree.
I'm sure that won't backfire at all.
There's no downside to this.
If you're just mean to people enough, they'll let you be mean to them.
That's this plan. Just be cool.
Like I said before the stream, I'm sure defensiveness and is a corporate strategy. Apparently,
that's true. Thin fragile skin masculinity. Defensiveness.
Why don't we, at first, give them all little blue check mark badges?
I don't understand.
We can walk in with a kitchen sink
and then take
in our
them
hands.
Away.
And then take away their food. And then.
Do you want this back?
Listen, whatever method you employ, be discreet. And when you're done, come to me. Who would you like to speak with first? Amanetta? Dolfeth? Or Kavriki?
We'll go in reverse alphabetical order, to be fair.
Kavriki.
You want to speak to Kavriki?
Yes.
All right. Kavriki, hey!
grabbing her, I turn you guys and I'm like, so guys, listen. I usually only use this on children, but my poppet can help me, like, make a good impression on people sometimes. I just want to let you know, like, don't be freaked out if I involve Egg.
Great.
Poppet's name is Egg?
Yeah.
Egg?
It's Egg. Good to know.
Good. Yes, doesn't sound horrifying at all.
Everyone should be moved near her, and I'll move everyone else away.
Is it time, Joe? Oh, you already,
I already started. It was delicious. It is delicious. My right, dauntless so. Snack. And somebody in chat was like, is he snapping a Slim Jim?
Snapping a Slim John? All right,
just
so
have
you guys
a little
are...
Dauntless John. Sponsored the stream. Member of the Nash. Support him.
You guys are all around Quiviandra here. It's just like, hey, Kavriki! And this woman comes over.
Kavriki. Yes, my mistress. Go with these men and women into my private chambers. They are doing consultants. Some work. For they are consultants. And, well, they'll explain to you why they need to speak with you. And Kavriki bows with her lute and begins walking in that direction. Do you guys just follow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I will open up the map a little bit here. Do a little reveal-a-loney. Little reveals-a-loney. And you guys can place yourselves in that private room back here. Unless you don't have access to your pawns.
To use this app? Do I not have access to my pawn?
It's possible.
Right, you just click it. Yeah, no, I don't have access to it.
Okay, I'll try and fix that. In the meantime, I'll move you
in. I'm there in spirit.
You're there. And so, let me see. So, you want to speak to Kavriki? And she says, yes, hello. I imagine I am to delight all of you with a song. Last Christmas,
no,
I
no,
give
please,
you
please.
My heart.
Please, please.
What? You
as
do not
beautiful
want to hear
as
my
your
song.
Voice and that song is, we have other more urgent business.
Do you not like my music? Should I kill
oh,
myself?
Oh, I love it. No, no. Well, that work?
Well, we're not really interviewing you for, like, your professional skills. It's more like soft skills. So we're going to ask, like, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And
yeah,
stuff
Kate
like
has
that.
Been on several job interviews in the
yeah,
last couple
just
of weeks.
Recently,
we should let her take the lead
so
on
she
this.
Is super it. Fresh. Like, honestly, Kate, you take it. But I just want to make it clear to all the listeners and to chat that the character that is saying this and speaking this way has chicken hands and a neck mouth.
You don't see the neck mouth, and it's
and
not immediately obvious, you know? It's just maybe something's so, off about her.
So she's wearing a turtleneck.
She's got a cloak on that ties, like, right around her neck. And it's
a long
cloak.
I just wanted to make
cloak.
Sure everyone had the right image. Go on.
Yeah, right.
Oh, we're so going to do some icebreakers with chicken hands. Just chicken
can
hands.
You just maybe
what do you mean
give me a brief...
soft skills? I do not understand.
Can you just maybe give me a brief, like, you know, five, like, tell me about yourself and why it is you want to work here?
Well, I do work here. I am the musician for Queviandre. I am I play many songs for her whenever she asks. I am a master of Christmas songs. I can play anything on my lute. Name a song, and I will play it for you.
Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Mbop?
Mbop.
I've also never heard of
everyone,
that.
Literally everyone knows Mbop.
It is a very simple chord progression.
I am ashamed. I must kill myself.
please, you've said this one too many times.
It is the way of Dailat Lean.
Are you happy? Yeah, working for your mistress?
Oh, very much so. She is a very giving and kind mistress, and I do all that I can to delight her and her retinue and her guests, some of which are very high society, important people.
How do you feel your performances have been lately? Do you think
they're all right.
She is in your... You are in her good favor.
I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I feel like I can always do better, but I have been trying my best to learn new songs. Would you like to hear Last Christmas once more?
No.
I gave
no.
you... That's
we don't
what I just
need
learned.
It at the moment. Are you from Galt?
From where?
Galt. Have you ever heard of the nation of Galt?
No, I have not. I am from Dailat Lean. I was raised in places such as this. You are not familiar with the area.
No, we are visitors. In fact, our consultancy is based very much so on not being from here and offering a new perspective.
It's how we say not biased.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Well,
outside yeah, consultants.
Many people such as myself.
This kid. It's just like the outside.
Many people such as myself, we grew up here in Dailat Lean, grew up in and around the Vice Dens. Many of us are the unwanted children of the people who have come seeking pleasure and forgot about what they left behind. I am one such creature. That is why I do my best to try and uplift the spirits of
I'm
this
sorry.
Place. Yes.
Did you say unwanted children?
Yes, Dailat Lean is full of unwanted children roaming the streets, and hopefully they too will find a place.
What are your vices?
You see, like, movement underneath the cloak.
Yeah, as her neck mouth starts to quiver.
Yeah, no, 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 no.
Ethel lurches forward. Is like, what are your vices?
I smoke.
You smoke? What do you smoke?
What do you smoke?
Yes,
you hitting the doobie?
I'm mostly Parliament Lights. It was...
It's the assassin!
They told me not to, but I am, how you say, the bad duck of my troop.
Do you ever get a chance to travel far from the chambers here? Where do you make your home?
I go wherever my mistress needs me. I live... We are always on the move, as she is an ambassador. Are you not familiar? Where she from?
No. She asked us all where we were from, but was not so interested in sharing her own experiences.
Oh,
and we didn't want to pry.
Then it is not for me to say either, for I am but a simple musician. Would you like
does
to hear
everyone,
last Chris?
Yes. Does everyone know her intimate secrets of where she is from, etc., as much as you do?
Her steward, Amanetta, I believe she knows much of our mistress's movements. She is always talking about things that I wonder, how does she know? How
interesting.
Does she know these things?
And what do you think of Amanetta as a person and servant to your lady?
She's always been very kind to me, but very nosy, if you catch my drift.
Why are you trying to get Abinetta fired?
I am not. I'm just telling you. I was just answering your question about Amanetta.
I appreciate the honesty, indeed.
She is the tiefling that is in our group.
Have you had any exchanges with Dolph Fifth?
Dolph Fifth? No, I do not believe in astrology and the stars.
She's going to say, no, I do not believe in Dolph.
We've been assured that he exists.
We've never seen him. It's funny. No, he does not exist.
I am not a child to believe in this dolphin.
All right, so at this point, I'd like to roll a perception just to get a sense of this feels...
Sense motive.
Yeah, sense motive. Yeah, how about that?
Sense motive or perception?
Too.
You guys can mix and match if you want.
Isn't it? What is it?
Well, there is no sense motive anymore.
Yeah,
no, there is, but it uses perception.
Or is it...
Sense motive is an action, but it uses your perception skill.
Yeah, so it would be, again, like if she was lying, it's against her deception DC. Right.
But it is a perception check against her deception DC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh. That was really good.
Ooh.
That's a 31 for Atticus.
Oh.
33 for Ethel.
Oh, Ethel, you badass.
And Aldo's just going to do a general perception check around the room. 25.
Okay. I got a 37.
Wow.
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 Right? That's wrong.
Did Agassiz?
I got a 27.
That's very wrong. All right, so...
You should have waited until right after we heard the answer to then correct yourself. That's
sorry,
how we play the glass cannon
that's
way.
That's right.
That's the glass cannon way.
Oh, wait.
Well, Eris and Atticus and Ethel, you don't detect that she's being duplicitous at all in her responses to you. As you, Aldo, start to look around the room or look at things, you do notice that she has some hidden daggers, like, in the folds of her clothes that just seem sort of out of place for a musician. Do you have society? Any good points in society?
I believe I do.
I'm untrained, but I'm not terrible.
I'm trained.
I am trained in society, but I wasn't quite looking
for hidden weapons. You tell
Unless
me.
Unless Aldo shares this information, like, hey, notice I got some weapons. Let's have Aldo roll to society, see if you learn anything.
Natural 20.
Oh, shit.
Natural 20.
Yeah.
So you notice the daggers. You're like, huh, that's strange. And then as you continue looking at her, you think that her clothing is far too expensive for that of a common musician that she claims to be. So,
she's on the take. She's on the take.
Well, you know this, right? You're not sharing it.
I'm not, no.
Okay. Before we let you go, please, the full rendition last Christmas. What was it?
All the verses, please.
Thank you. Hey, last Christmas, I give you my heart. And she does like an Aaron Neville version that takes 45 minutes.
Aaron!
Aaron! Last Christmas.
The Bleeding Gums Murphy version.
Bleeding.
Is there anything else?
No. Thank you so much for your cooperation. If we need to talk to you again, you will be here.
Oh, of course, I will be right around wherever my mistress is. You will find me.
You've been most helpful.
Yes, one of us will reach Thank out you. To you at, and let you know about the next phase in this interview process.
Very good.
So just keep an eye out for that.
All right. Well, enjoy your time. Be sure to do some drugs.
Right.
Goodbye.
Yep.
She walks out.
So as soon as she's out of earshot, Aldo will share. Says, didn't her clothing seem a bit fancy for someone who claims to be in the position she's in? Also, she had several hidden daggers tucked into that fancy clothing.
Ooh.
Oh, very interesting.
That is interesting. Well, what kind of daggers?
I don't know.
Sharp daggers.
Sharp daggers, the kind that you'd use to cut things.
I knew it. I knew that rendition of Last Christmas wasn't up to snuff.
No. Yeah, certainly her outfit is far greater than her rendition of Last Christmas would lead us to believe her earning capacity is.
Let's not jump to conclusions.
Yes, but I detected no deception in her responses, being loyal to her lady and trying to do her best, being a perfectionist and always falling a bit short. It seemed to be rather honest, though. Let's talk to the others, and we can still make a judgment. Though this is a very important piece of information, Aldo. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
How about this mythological Dolthith?
Dolthith.
Continuing in reverse alphabetical order, that would be our next interview.
We open up the door and walk back to her.
How did your talk with Kavriki go?
We would prefer to not share details until we have spoken to all three. Is Dolthith available?
Dolthith, yes. Hey, Dolthith! And Dolthith comes over and he says, yes, my mistress. Yes, oh, wait. Wait, I'm hearing a voice. Did one of you lose someone recently?
And you just see Ethel go, He's just like trying to keep his composure.
I'm hearing someone pass. Did you lose someone recently?
I'm sorry. We need to stay unbiased while we are consulting.
Oh, but of course, but I hear these voices and I can't help but someone
out of curiosity, what would that voice be saying?
It's a woman's voice, yes. Did a woman pass recently? One of you?
We'll ask the questions.
I see the letter K. A K or a J? Something about the money. Something about the money?
Who's the guy that John?
Something about John the Edwards. Money.
John Edwards. This is the John Edwards thing.
Something about the. Something about the money?
Something about the money. I'm seeing something like a K, maybe an M.
I'm seeing an T.
Have you guys watched the South Park about John Appleseed?
Yeah, I was just thinking about
the biggest douche in the universe.
Yeah, biggest douche in the universe. Right?
Well, she wants you to know.
The biggest douche.
She wants you to know that the money's okay.
You can see a single tear roll down Ethel's cheek.
Okay, we definitely can't use any of Ethel's feedback in this.
Yeah, Ethel's gone bye-bye.
In the room, pal.
Oh. Yes.
Right.
Yes, I'm hearing another. All right, we'll go in the room. And you walk into the room with Dolfeth. And let me update the map here.
Dolfeth. So,
Kavriki is out, and Dolfeth is in.
Indeed, I am curious from a metagaming standpoint why you must put these. It's all on a map. Why is that?
It's just a nice map.
It is a nice map.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because once all of you get in the room, something very strange happens. Adolphus is like, I'm hearing another voice, and all of a sudden you see the curtain, like, straightens taut, and like, vroom, locks to the floor, and all of a sudden there's this burst of purple gas filling the room. Everybody roll a fortitude save.
Oh, no.
What the shit? Bitch. What the shit? What is this? Are you just like, move? I'm disappointed.
Oh, I'm no longer fatigued, right? That's only my night terrors are only in the waking lands. Okay. That helps marginally.
Fortitude save.
Did you say 17? Fortitude, John?
I did.
Oh, no, Skid.
That's a bad roll.
Shit. I also rolled terribly.
No! It's a 27 for Atticus.
Okay.
Natural 2. For a 17 for Ethel.
Oh,
17 buddies.
17 buddies. And what about Eris?
33. I rolled a natural 18.
Nice.
Everybody roll for initiative.
Oh, my goodness. What on earth?
What am I rolling?
Perception.
Okay.
I thought we were going to be interrogating this fellow, but it looks like he's a dirty bastard, but I knew it because I rolled great initiative.
All right, what did you roll, Eris?
27.
Ethel?
Another good roll.
Ethel rolled a 22.
Atticus?
28.
And Aldo?
13, natural 1.
Oh, jeepers. Get those out of the way. All right. Here's what happens immediately. This gas fills the room, and Dolfeth is like, wait, I'm hearing another voice. He starts, like, grabbing at his throat.
Oh, shit.
And he hits the floor, and you just see, like, he's out. Eris, you seem to be fine by this initial gas that enters the room. However, Atticus fails, and Aldo and Ethel critically fail.
Failed with a 27?
You failed with a 27. Eris succeeded with a 33. Where Aldo... Ow.
I don't know if you know this, but this book was inappropriately converted.
Yeah, I have a complaint to lodge.
All right, so this thing that you're inhaling, to Aldo and Ethel, you immediately go to stage 2. Of this poison, and you take 8 points of slashing damage. It's like inhaling fiberglass that's cutting up your insides, and you're stupefied 1. Atticus, you take 5 points of poison damage.
Five points
of poison damage to Atticus, and Aldo and Scooby-Doo Ethel take 8 points of slashing damage. And you're stupefied 1.
He like coughs blood up.
All right, let's go in round order here as these stages play out. It is Atticus's turn. Give me another fortitude save. If you pass, you will be cured.
And you know this is at the beginning of your turn.
Yeah, I'm basically using initiative order to track the stages unless something changes the situation.
Okay. Okay, but it's definitely the beginning of my turn. So, like, for example, if I ran out of the room, that doesn't matter.
No, you can do something like that. Try it.
Okay, so he is going to run out of the room.
You go to run to that curtain, and it's completely taut and impassable. It's something, some sort of trap has been set in the room.
All right, so that is... Oh, this is crazy. All right, so that is an action.
In the meantime, I'm going to see if afflictions tick at the beginning of your turn or not, just in case you can, like, cast something that boosts your
spell. Exactly. Like, I feel like it goes at the end of the turn. I mean, do these have flat checks? No, they have a save. I'm looking to see if I have something that would allow me to jump. I just don't have it right now. I don't believe so.
End of your turn.
End of your turn.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
It's a trap! It's a trap! It's a trap!
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything that would boost fortitude saves or allow me to jump to the other side of the door. So, I will ready an action. I'm going to ready an action with the two actions I have left, but I can only ready one action. I'll just ready an action to put up a shield if something comes near me. Like, see. Okay. And in the meantime, just to keep it moving, and I will roll fortitude save. And I'm going to fail. I mean, obviously. Yeah, that is a fail. That is a 24.
All right, so you progress to stage two, and you take 13 points of slashing damage, and you're stupefied one.
Oh, my God.
And now it goes to Eris.
Hey, so I'm going to turn myself into gaseous form.
Oh, nice. Perfect.
Gaseous form.
And try to get out of this room through a tiny crack.
Wow. Having that spell immediately come in handy is perfect.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's all so right, perfect.
How many actions is it to cast gaseous form?
So that's a two-action spell. It's polymorph and transmutation traits, somatic, verbal. And one willing creature, and I'm willing, and it's a 5-minute duration.
So you cast it on yourself, and then you still have one action left to try and move out of the room, and I'm going to say that you're able to find a crack that lets you slide back out into the common area.
That's what I do.
But you are just a cloud of gas, which in that room wouldn't look out of place, as there's smoky haze everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, it is now Ethel's turn. Ethel, you are... at stage two of this, and stupefied one.
All right, Ethel is going to move to the curtain, the door, and draw his hammer and his hatchet and just begin to hack at the curtain, trying to cut us free.
I love it. Give me a fortitude save.
All right. Oh, that's terrible. 22.
Oh, boy. All right, not bad. I rolled bad. You take 8 points of poison damage, and now you're stupefied too.
And do I do any damage to the curtain? Do I?
Yeah. You don't have to roll it. I'm just going to say you've begun damaging this curtain. That doesn't feel like a curtain anymore. It still has felt on the outside, but there's some sort of like metal behind it that you're banging into.
It's metal? Oh, gosh. So yeah. All right, so with that... I'm not that. I'm only I'm stupefied too. It's not that. Not like I'm totally incapacitated. So once I realize what it is, I'll share. There's some sort of metal door. And we need to find another way out.
Find another way out. And it is Aldo's turn.
All right. First thing I'm going to do as I'm coughing up blood, is I'm going to do an alchemical lore check to see if I can identify the substance that we're breathing in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That is a 29.
Yep, that's enough to know. This is a burnt Othar fumes trap. You ever heard of Othar fumes?
No.
O-T-H-U-R.
I thought you were mispronouncing other.
No, it honestly might be pronounced.
Othar. Yeah. Do you mean other? Are you trying to say other?
It probably is pronounced other. This is actually goes back to D&D 3.5, I think.
Oh, wow.
They're an awesome poison. I'm just looking to see like more information on that, but... you know it's burnt Othar fumes.
Okay. Is there any counteracting agent or anything that I would know of?
you know that like it only lasts for a certain amount of time. Actually, I can tell you, it lasts 6 rounds. So at the end of 6 rounds, if you haven't fully saved or brought yourself back above stage one, it stops. It's run its course. But if you keep failing saves, you're going to keep taking damage and keep... I don't know if the stupefied will stack or not, but anyways, you're going to keep taking damage.
All right. It's Ifa! And I'm going to do a perception check to see if there's anything notable about the situation that I haven't seen yet. That is a 25.
25. All right, so the one thing you do notice in the northern part of the room, there seems to be a little outline on the wall that looks like it might be a secret door leading out of this chamber. Ha.
Oh, huge. Okay. Oh, my God. Huge.
So I'm like, he's coughing and pointing at that spot on the door. And I think that's his third action. That's basically all he can do.
Okay. Give me another fortitude save.
Okay. And another natty 10. That is it's a fail.
It's a fail. All right, you're going to take 13 points of poison damage, and you're stupefied too.
Ugh.
The stupefies for this do not stack. It's just one round, but you'll keep taking this poison damage. And now it goes to round two. Atticus, you're still afflicted. You're at stage two. What do you do?
Yeah, no threat came out for him to cast his Jawn, so he is going to... he's going to follow Atticus or Aldo's lead to the wall, and he'll just start trying to find and open this secret door.
All right, you move to the wall, first action. Second action, you open a door, and you see this little alcove here. It looks like it's meant for people to sneak in and out of Queviandra's room. You want to roll another perception check when you're in there to try and find out how to get out of that?
Well, move to the door, open the door. That's two actions.
Yeah.
Third action would be moving in. A fourth action would be looking around. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to look before I move in.
Yeah, it's a very tight space. So if you moved in there, you could be blocking the way for others.
Yeah, so I'm going to take a quick like peek. Oh, that's good, dude. Nice. That is 28.
Yep, sure nice. Enough. You see an outline of another door on the opposite side.
Okay. And he's coughing. And he's waving everybody this way. Past him. And another fortitude save.
Yeah.
I mean, you're trying to dodge the fumble here. This is bad.
Yeah.
This is really bad. Okay, didn't fumble. Same thing, 27. It didn't go down. Will goes down with stupefied, not fortitude. 27.
All right, 13 points of poison damage, and you're stupefied too.
Like on the wall, he's just like blood coughing up, and it's splattering on the wall.
You see Dalfeth's skin is completely purple, and his veins are like crawling up his neck to his face, and his eyes are just frozen open. He's dead.
Dead already.
He's dead already.
What?
He didn't have as many hit points as you guys.
Yeah, he's not a hero. He's not eighth level. If he was, he wouldn't be working for this one.
He was a first level astrologer.
I'm getting M, the letter M.
M. M, maybe a J, sound? J or G? It's Eris's turn. About the money?
Okay, so like Kate or Eris doesn't see this. I was thinking that Dolphith did this, but maybe he didn't, but like she's not in the room anymore. So she ungaseouses herself.
Okay, that's probably, is that one action to ungaseous?
The target it's dismissing the spell.
Okay, that's probably a one action.
Yeah, and then discreetly walk to Queviandra.
Whoa, oh man, we have split the party.
And say,
SCP.
Someone trapped the room we are interviewing in. My comrades are dying. I think we might have found the person. Can you help?
Wait. You stop speaking so quickly. What happened?
Slow down.
Calm yourself and explain the situation.
Some gas trap was let off into the room.
Gas trap in my quarters?
My God, what? This is amazing. I mean, Kate, you are portraying this as if we have come in to interview people that we're going to fire.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of doing so, someone in like a cubicle set off a death trap for the people that were interviewing them. And then you walked out to the boss and were like, someone set a death trap.
Like you're definitely going to fire
in the most
them.
Calm tone.
Also, the trap is probably meant for her. So it's like,
right? Like, yeah. Just in case it was the last person we didn't interview, like, I remember she told us to keep our voices down. So I'm just trying to discreetly walk over there and tell her, hey, shit's going down in that room. I think it's poison.
Obviously. Music.
Right?
Yeah. Listen, there is a secret passageway in the room to the north of the room where my quarters are. Go in that way and let your friends out. Do it quickly.
Okay, got it. Thanks for your help.
Yes, be cool. Don't let everyone know. This will be important for the investigation.
Yeah, I'm cool. She goes, well, I don't think she does anything. That was like kind of three actions. So she ends her turn standing there saying she'll be cool.
One, two. You can begin moving over there. Free talking is free action.
Oh, okay.
So you can begin moving over there. And now it is Ethel's turn.
Ethel will pick up Dolfeth, not realizing he's dead because he's stupefied.
Right.
He'll pick him up, throw him over his shoulder. I'm assuming that's going to be two actions. He's right next to me.
One. Yeah, sure.
All right, one, and then I'll just move into the room and then open the door.
Okay, so you move into that little crawl space and you open the door into another little alcove situation, and we'll say there's a couple people in there and they're getting high. It's this guy and this dude. He's like, hey, give that door closed. I'm getting high in here. Come on, man. Me and my girl are getting high.
Come on, man.
Shut that door, dude.
You're letting all the weed out.
Your room stinks, man. You got some bad flay leaf.
Roll a fortitude save.
Do I get any kind of assistance for not being in the room anymore and directly exposed?
Yeah, give yourself a plus +5 now that you've got a little more fresh air coming into there. You're not in that closed quarters.
Okay, that is much better. That's going to be a 35.
All right, 35 is going to take you from stage 3 to stage 2, which is just going to be 9 points of slashing damage and stupefied 1.
Great.
If you save again, you go to stage 1. Save again, you'll be fine. And I believe this is round 3 of 6. And now it is Aldo's turn.
Oh, God. I mean, we really need... what's her name?
Sarah.
Yeah. Suki, to heal us.
Yeah. Aldo is going... He's going to rush through, like, pushing past Atticus and Ethel into the next room, getting into the...
Hey, come on, man! This is a two-person party! I don't have enough drugs for you!
And I cough blood, this giant gout of blood, up onto both of them. It's a great thing to experience when you're super high. And I'm going to do a perception check in this room to see if there's anything I notice.
Okay.
Probably not. 19?
There's lots of drugs, and the curtained wall isn't as hard as the one from the one you left.
Isn't as hard.
Roll a 42 save with a plus +5.
Okay. That's another fail. Not a critical fail, but a fail.
Okay, so you just repeat stage 3, which is obviously still pretty bad. 6, 12. Oh, God, 17 points of damage.
Oh, my God.
And stupefied, too. This is a brutal poison.
Yeah.
All right, that's good news is that's the end of round 3. It now goes to round 4, and it's Atticus's turn.
Okay. Atticus, I guess there's nothing else to do here but follow everyone, run out, and get the hell out of there.
Okay.
So he'll move through.
Come on,
running
man!
Running into the room.
I'm seeing rats! This blood is making me see rats!
He's gonna go
get
to
him
the,
off me!
He's going to go to the curtain and push the curtain open.
Ah, okay. So you push the curtain open and you bust into that room, and now you've got much more space. Give yourself a plus 10 to that save because you've still inhaled it and it's entered your body.
Like right into this nice party, he just starts like hawking up blood. Eris sees him pop
and people just like, oh man, he had too much.
He had too much.
He partied too
and
hard.
There's the natural 20. That is
too
a
much
43.
Shiva. All right, that's great. So that's going to take you from stage 3 to stage 1. It'll
huge.
Bounce you up 2, which is just a simple 6 points of poison damage. One more
and
save.
Do I lose my stupefied condition?
Yes.
Oh, huge. Okay, great.
Great, and now it's Eris. Eris, you see the curtains open, and it looks like your friends have found the way out. But they're still scoffing up blood.
So I see they found the way out, but I also just realized, I feel like as she walked to this curtain and she passes by, I mean, the pawn is there for Kavriki, but is Kavriki still out in this room?
She is. She's saying, last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day.
So she goes up behind her and just says, you really have to learn another song. We need to talk. And like grabs her by the hand. Or like puts her hand on the shoulder.
Whoa, what is that chicken? What what is the matter? I don't understand. I'm playing. You interrupted my song.
Is there a way problem? I can like intimidate her? Like I have an intimidating glare. I'm gonna glare at her.
Okay, what is that?
And try to
do?
Demoralize her. It's a train. I'm trained in intimidation, and I can demoralize with a mere glare. And when I do, the demoralized loses the demoralized uses the auditory trait and gains the visual trait, and you don't take a penalty if the creature doesn't understand your language. Oh, okay, cool.
All right, so do you still have to roll an intimidate check, or is it automatic?
It doesn't say it's automatic.
You still have to roll your
intimidate.
Okay.
Intimidate.
So it's like Teen Wolf. I would like a keg of
you better
beer.
Stay where you are, exactly. You sneaky little bard bitch.
Bard bitch!
I rolled a natural 5 for a 19.
Let's talk.
Ooh.
So
don't cause a scene. Let's talk.
Move to her. Talking is free. I rolled to intimidate, and
one action plunge a dagger into her throat.
Yeah.
An action to just grab her. Like, okay, I got like just grab her by the arm. Like, you know, like you're in trouble, Missy. All
right. let's go. Let's go to the other room.
The other room?
Yes, the room that we were in. I can fix this.
You can fix this?
Yes.
I'm going to put you in that room. I'm not going to come in with you.
All right, just bring me over there.
Okay. I'll do it next round.
Can't wait.
Sweet. I'm out of actions. What do you want me to do?
I'm simply out of actions. It's Ethel's turn.
Ethel, still carrying the body of Dolfeth. We'll walk through the room with the and ruin those two people's party.
Come on, man! You got knives!
And we'll just carry Dolteth out into the main room.
Don't cut my drugs!
Don't cut my drugs, man!
Come on, Knifey! Don't cut my drugs! You carry that Dolteth out and bring him into that room. Roll again with a plus 10.
Okay, 38.
Okay, and were you at stage 2, or were you still stupefied 2, or what were you?
I was stupefied 1.
Okay, so a 38 is a crit. You go from stage 2 to you're fine.
Amazing.
Awesome. Okay.
Huge.
Huge.
Actually, no, 38 is not a crit. You just go to stage 1.
I'm already at stage 1.
You go from stage 2 to stage 1.
I was at stage 1.
You were at stage 2 because you were stupefied 1, right?
Oh, sorry. I was stupefied one.
Sorry, you take 7 points of damage. But one more save and you're fine. And now it is Aldo's turn.
All right, Aldo, he's going to, like, he's knocking over tables full of drugs, sending them scattered, scattering. It's coughing blood up onto everything that somebody
You're worse than your
mouth.
Friend Knifey! There's always a bad duck in every troop!
I'm a knock! I'm the worst duck you'll ever see, mate! And he goes outside, covered in blood, poison, and flay leaf. And I'm going to try to do a fortitude save. Oh my god, dude. 24.
No, it's so high, the save on this one. So you take, 12. 14 points of damage, and you remain stupefied, too. So this thing is just eating you guys alive. And then it's round five. And at the top of round five, she motions to all of you. And she, I'm talking about Kavriki, like walks over, and you see her very subtly like tap something on the curtain, and the curtain parts, and she motions for all of you to go inside. You know, the curtain like softens, and then she motions for you all to come inside. It comes to Atticus's turn. Atticus, you're still, are you fine now, or you're one save away from, I think you're one save from fine.
Yeah, so, I went to one. Yeah, I went to stage one. Right. So he's still got it in him, and he's coughing. He's like, are you out of your mind? There's a cloud of poison gas in there.
No, it's he's fine. It's fine. I took care of it.
Right. I'm going to go along with this because it's a stream. This doesn't make any fucking sense.
Am I still doing a plus 10? I mean,
yeah.
That is a 39.
All right, so you're fine now.
He will follow.
Okay, you go in there, and there's no more gas in the room, and the curtain's totally normal. She, like, tripped something that turned off the trap.
Why did you do that?
Sorry, I have to protect myself. I do not understand what is going on here.
Indeed.
Are we out of combat? Or is everybody else going to come in here?
No, because they're still choking. But Eris's turn. Eris, you're not choking. Do you want to just come into the room?
Yeah, since I was like I grabbed her arm, I would assume went into the room with her.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
also, because she's demoralized, she is frightened one. Of me, at least. So I go with her, and I kind of just like hold my hand out at her, my fingernails, like, don't do any more funny business.
I won't.
You don't want to see me and what else I can do.
You don't, truly. You don't.
And then she takes out her poppet. She goes, and you don't want to see what egg can do.
Oh, man.
Please.
Please, don't.
Please, no. Ethel.
Ethel will follow them and I guess make another save when he gets in the room.
Yeah, make another save. Still plus 10. There's no more gas or abounding, so you're starting to get that fresh air in to clean out your lungs.
Okay, 38 again.
All right, so you're fine, but poor Aldo is left still at stage 3.
All right.
Give me another save here.
All right, I'm still pushing my way past all these drug addicts.
I'm still carrying Dull Death, by the way. Yes. I just carry this dead body through the room.
Okay. Oh, there we go. Let's see. 41.
41, all right, so you just go to stage 1. And you take 4 points of damage. You get into the room and close the curtain behind you. And she's like, all right, listen, you don't understand. I had no choice. Quirliandra she's very evil. She's very evil, and this was meant for her. This was not meant for you.
Of course she is evil, but what do you mean? Even if it was meant for her, why does it go off the moment you leave the room?
Because I can trigger the trap. I figured if you were poking around, wondering things, you may find me out and hand me over to her. So I felt my only chance was to eliminate you as well. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You probably have no reason to trust me or believe me, but if you have any goodness in you at all, you will know that I am not your enemy, though I just tried to kill you. It was in self-defense, for I knew that... Well, I didn't know. The point is, Quiviandra, she is involved in horrible things. She is here on Dylathleen to try and establish an illegal network of soul traders to bring her night hag practice of bartering souls into the Dreamlands. This is what she does on her home world, in her home dimension of Abaddon. This would ruin the Dreamlands if she did that here. This is dark sorcery. She considers the souls of the dreamers who inhabit my home to be an untapped resource. These extraplanar bazaars. She wants to corner the market herself and steal our very souls, the souls of my people. These souls are already broken. Like I told you before, wandering children in the streets, wondering who their parents were.
I keep hearing about this, but I haven't seen it yet.
Well, she will steal their souls. The souls of these children. They will never grow up to sing Last Christmas in a drug den.
It's terrible, yes. But I don't want to get too excited talking about lost children on the street and their souls or bodies being eaten.
Yes, I'm afraid you may have stumbled upon the wrong crew. We are not exactly interested in doing what is, what you call it, the right thing.
But she must die. She must die to stop.
Oh, of course she must. But yet practice. You have been serving her for how long? So, she must die, yes? Yes, she killable.
Yes.
How?
Yes.
A simple poison like this, it did nothing to us. What would it have done to her?
It would have weakened her, and then I could have come in and finished the job.
She did something to me.
Oh, yes, I'm very sorry. Oh. Again, I did not.
Hunter, you live...
Eris walks over to you and puts her hand on your back and goes, there, Aldo, it's going to be okay. And she's going to soothe you if you're willing. And sure. You get... What is this? You get 13 hit points back.
Oh, that is quite soothing. Thank you.
And you get a +2 status bonus to saves against mental effects for a minute. I don't know if this is a mental effect or not. But
no, it's poison.
Ethel heaves the body of Dolteth onto the floor.
Looked like you were just carrying out a guy that like had too much. Yeah, like, you almost looked like you were...
He's been overserved. And then he draws his warhammer and his hatchet. He turns to Aldo and Atticus. He's like, did I kill her? Or did I kill the other one?
Please, you appear to be very formidable. The fact that you could withstand this poison when that terrible astrologer died in 2 rounds shows me that you have the strength to defeat her. Just help me turn the tables on her. Let me go back out there and then you call her in here to discuss your findings. I will not trip that trap. It needs to be reset. It's a whole thing. But when she comes in, You launch your attack on her, and I will keep her retinue occupied in the common room. If you try to face her and corner her out there, there's no way of knowing how many people will come to her aid. In here, you can make short work of her. But you must trust me. She is the one you want, not me. You think whatever reward she promised you, she will not give you. She is full of lies and deceit. This is what she does. She not only trades in soul, she trades in lies.
You have made a very convincing argument.
Three sense motive or something?
Leave us.
What?
You can still send motive.
I can leave.
Cool. Leave us.
Last Christmas.
Of course it's all legit. Oh, wow. I've been crushing these perception rolls. That is a 31. Crushing it for a wizard. Anyway.
You know that you rolled a 30-something before and you didn't pass her deception. So, like, she's a very skilled liar. So if she was lying, you still feel like, if she's lying, she's fucking good.
Yeah, but the thing is, there is a certain logic in it, isn't there, Ethel? Aldo, Eris, regardless of whether or not she is lying, the odds are, if we're playing it, what's more likely? I thought it strange at the time. Why merely outing this assassin? Would she just give up the Hearthstone? Just give it away? Something that she needs to survive. It seemed a little too easy. Perhaps this one is right. If we could get her in here, get her cornered, we'll also have an ally. An ally who knows how to kill.
Seems to me we got a perfect no-lose situation, because if we bring her in here, we got a dead body. We just say, it was the astrologer. And then if she says, here's the Hearthstone, we just go. But if she's like, ah, excuses, bullshit, then we kill her.
Ethel, that's a great point, mate.
I like it, Ethel. I like it very much, though I am so hurt.
I am too.
I could do some healing as well.
I mean, this is fucked. Who took field medicine? Was that you, Ethel?
Yeah, I can heal each of us 2d8 hit points if I make my medicine.
It's better than nothing. I mean, this is a brutal way to like face a boss. Like, I don't really know that we have the stuff, but let's take some rounds to do this at least.
All right. That's a pass for me. That's a pass for Aldo. That's natural 20 for you, Joe.
Nice.
Does that mean anything?
Yeah, I think it's double.
I think it is. There's some kind of bonus. I can't remember.
I believe it is double, I think. And I'm not even like making a joke. You're treating wounds, right? Skill.
Yeah, it's treat wounds. You can do treat wounds as an action. Then you're immune to it for the rest of the day.
Yeah, but I think you get double on a crit. Yeah, all right. It does double.
All right, yeah, you get awesome. Double.
Wow, so nice.
Are you, Eris, were you hurt?
I was fine. I passed the check. Storm. And I can soothe 2 more times. It's a level 1 spell. But before I do, I would like to ask Kavriki, like, what are her weaknesses? What's good to use against her before I blow those slots?
She is a very powerful night hags. They draw power from the... Wait, she has a different voice. She is a... I forgot her voice. She is very powerful. These night hags, they draw power from their hot stone. She can cast spells. Spells that mess with your mind, with your dreams, both while you are awake and asleep. She has the power of the shadows at her command. She is dangerous, but your numbers alone should be able to take her out.
Is she kind of maybe not as receptive to other mental spells being cast on her?
I've not heard such things. I'm sure she has some resistances, but she never disclosed them to me. I never saw her character sheet.
She probably has a really high will save, if nothing else.
Skid, you heal 7 points. You heal 7, and Joe, you heal 12.
Nice. Cool.
You can try to recall knowledge on night hags just to see if you can get some more
concrete
information.
Like maybe, maybe Eris like knows about other types of witches. So let's roll this dice. Recall knowledge is rolling.
It could be for this one, planes or arcana.
Let's do arcana. I'm trained in that. 9. So that's a 23.
All right, 23. I can tell you, Arcanalina. That they do. They typically do have resistance against mental.
All right, against mental. Okay. How are you feeling, Aldo?
I'm in a bit of a tough, rough way. Still not feeling quite up to snuff.
Oh, are you still feeling a little bad? And she like puts her hand on your back against
your
back.
You already did him once.
Do you feel worse than Aldo?
Most definitely.
I feel pretty terrible as well.
I'm worse than both of you.
I see how this
terrible.
Is. Everyone wants me to tell them that they're going to be a
I
little
could
better.
I could use a back soothing.
Oh.
How does the soothing work exactly?
The soothing
Are you gonna like touch us with the mouth?
I don't need to touch you, I guess.
just a chicken hand, bro.
I grace
just a chicken
your
hand.
Mind and boost your mental defenses and heal wounds. So I feel like the main point of this is you gain plus two status bonus to saves against mental effects.
Yeah, that's huge
for
too.
A minute.
Yeah,
huge.
That's great.
But then you also hear 1d10 plus four.
I should warn you. There are some wounds in there that just aren't going to heal, no matter how hard you try. Okay.
All right. Let's pass that around. And Skid, can't you heal us? Can't you heal us all?
I can give each of you two elixirs of life.
Amazing.
So that would be 2d6 plus two healing for each of you.
We just roll it for ourselves.
And I don't need any. Just so you know, don't count me.
And wait. Okay. So 2d6 plus two per elixir, or
for both.
A total of 2d6
plus 2. A total of 2d6 plus 2, yeah.
Okay, that elixir actually does gets me pretty well up there.
I'll drink mine. Oh, grab your roll. I got 7 total. And then, can you please soothe me? I get 1d10 plus 4.
Okay.
Come on, Eris, please. I need your soothing.
It's going to be all right. Don't worry. Nothing's going to come out and take you while you sleep and eat you. I don't know why I'm rolling.
You said it was 1d10 plus 4.
Yeah, I know. I just like rolled a d20 for no reason and rolled a natural 20.
Let's just say it's a 10.
That's a 10.
So 14.
Yeah.
Roll it.
Oh, okay.
You could say a d20 is a d10.
Okay.
Troy's not saying anything.
I'll sleep just fine. Troy's not paying attention. Perfect. Blue under 14. The radar.
It's like rolling a d6 for a d3.
You can't do
it's
like,
that. No, it's
you gotta roll a d10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You get 8 points.
That's
I rolled a 4.
God damn it.
You dirty cheaters.
This is
can you
so
soothe me as well?
The minute dad turns his back.
Really? Okay. Wait, I thought you said you were going to be fine.
I mean, I hope I'm going to be fine. I mean, there are some things I'll be fine about, but you know.
Okay, no more.
But you could use
don't
the bonus too. You could use the bonus as
I
well.
Could use the bonus.
What don't is the bonus? What is the bonus? Plus two to mental against mental effect saves
for,
against
for 1 minute.
Oh yeah, that's not a lot.
Yeah, so like we got to set up the trap. It's not gonna.
Yeah, we can't do like a conversation.
I'll pass on the soothing.
Are you sure?
Yeah, like I said, there are some things you just don't come back from.
Okay, well, you know, I owe you one for the whittling of the wood, if you know what I mean.
The guy from the other room is, like, sitting next to you now. He's like, can I get some of that soothing?
Ethel just gives him just shoves him back into the other room.
I give them an intimidating glare.
Oh, no, rats. All right, so what do you want to do? Do you want to try and take her on in this tiny little room? Do you want to lure her into another room? What is your strategy here?
I think the tiny little room is going to give us the biggest advantage because if she's going to try to get off spells, I can get off attacks of opportunity. She doesn't have a lot of room to maneuver.
Yep. Agreed.
But of course, we can get we don't have to start the fight immediately. We're going to offer her the body of Dolteth. Saying he turned on us, we had to kill him, and now we can hand over the Heartstone.
It's true. Kavriki will not be happy with that, but
we don't work for
Kavriki. You just need the Heartstone.
Yeah.
I don't work for Kavriki, all right? I work for this guy and this rat.
All right, so what's the plan here? How do you do this? Do you go out there and
do we say that it's the dead body because we do have the option with your old buddy Atticus to hide the body and make this guy just appear alive, like
why?
Standing in the room.
He was the guy.
And say it's him, but he can't really talk. I mean, he makes sounds and stuff like that, but he can't really sound like himself exactly.
To say it was him. Sorry, he tried to attack us. We had no choice but to respond.
Yeah, maybe I'll make an illusion of him like gagged and like bound.
Yeah,
just so that you know she doesn't think that we just killed off somebody and said that it was.
She's a. A hag, like she's gonna be able to see through your illusion. Like if anyone's gonna make that will save, it's her. So that's I would just true. Why not? Why lie? We killed him.
Okay. Well, we are lying. But
well, why pile on to the lie?
Yeah. Well, because he could be a combatant, is what I'm saying. It's not just like a figment. It's an illusion that can attack her. But that's fine. Let's just go.
Let's just go. Let's
see what she says.
All right. So who goes out to bring her in?
Oh, wait a minute. Are we concerned about Amanetta not even being interviewed? Do we need to do a show of interviewing Amanetta before we pull her in and say we know who it is?
Let's just think so. If we
can just say he was like,
is,
"I'll kill you, never find out."
Yeah,
and then we had to kill him.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Ethel
will go out and be like, "Excuse me, ma'am.
Handsome.
Yeah, we have a results. If you want to come confer with us in the other room,
you do. That was quicker than I expected.
Well, you get someone. You get what you pay for.
We'll see. It seemed like there was a bit of commotion, but I did not want to stare.
Yeah, we'll explain everything if you just.
Right, I entrusted you with this mission. Let me come into my quarters here. Mm-hmm. Would you hold my hand?
Sure.
It's been a while since a man touched me like you touched me.
I'll be honest, it's been a while since I've been touched in any way.
All right, I'm here now. What is show me? Dolphith!
Is he tied up? He looks like he's tied up, he's dead?
He's dead.
No, he's dead. He's just got a body there.
What's it? I explicitly told you if you found the person to tell me and that I would mete out justice.
Well, you see, remember when I came out and let you know what was going on?
Yes.
He set off a trap and attacked us.
A trap?
We defended ourselves. I told you about this and you told me to figure it out, so we did.
Yes, he said that he had an escape plan or something. He said, "You will all die, and I will find my way out of here." And Ethel, it was, cut him down before he could do so.
I hit him with my hammer.
Dolphith, I did suspect him, but he is not the violent sort.
No, he was not. In fact, he was rather unviolent. Poison is a coward's weapon, after all. He shot off the poison and then tried to flee from the room. He wanted no physical fight with us at all. He just wanted to kill us and make his escape, so he couldn't possibly tell you that he was the one who had set you up. And of course he's the one who set you up, because he didn't do the deed himself. He had it outsourced to those who had the wherewithal to fight you, or fight your people at least.
And you saw him trying to, like, you know, sweet talk us before we came into this room and distract us, and yeah.
Yes. I suppose it all adds up. I just wish I had the opportunity to speak with him and let him know the hurt that he caused me. But you are certain he was the culprit?
Oh, indeed.
100%.
110%.
110%.
And so, with that, we'd very much appreciate the hearthstone.
Yes, I believe you have earned this. I went to great pains to retrieve one of these, but a small price to pay to do it again for my life, I suppose.
And she, wraps it up in a cloth.
Here. May you enjoy your travels. Whether it be here in Dailathleen or elsewhere.
Can I examine it? See if it's authentic?
Yeah.
You may.
All right. Do an arcana.
You will forgive us. We are indeed unfamiliar with the artifact. We must take
it. Well, it is very powerful. I would be very careful with that.
Yes.
Its magic will linger.
I'll detect magic while he's looking at it more closely. I'll just see if it's even magical.
What is this casting you are doing here?
Oh, it's just a simple detect magic. I want to make sure it is indeed emanating the magic you say it does.
It may not, you. It is a magic you would not see, as it is only magical in my possession, and even outside of my possession, the magic fades, so you may not detect the magic as you normally detect it. And what did you roll, Aldo?
32.
It is not a heartstone. It is a large jacinth, probably worth a couple thousand gold. Certainly a sly substitute, but not the real thing.
Are we all done here?
Yes, well, I guess you're right. It is a magic we are unable to detect. And Atticus is just getting ready to play.
Yes, this is quite precious. Very impressive. And we do appreciate the gift. However, and he's like kind of tucking it into his belt pouch. He's like, however, it is not quite what we agreed upon. So as a result, we are going to have to kill you. I'm very sorry.
That is necessary.
And I stab her with my kukiri.
My kukiri.
Right in the back.
You are boorish fools.
Roll for initiative.
Oh, okay. My goodness.
Oh, baby.
Oh, man. If ever you want to get a good one.
I mean, you've got her completely surrounded.
Jack.
Shut up!
I'm going to need another beef stick. Yeah, for real. Shit's going long, bro.
Well, I rolled a exceptionally bad initiative.
31 for Aldo.
Nice, Aldo.
Ethel?
22.
22 for Ethel. Eris?
21.
21, okay. And Atticus?
And 23 for Atticus.
Oof. All right, so we're going to go a little longer because I'd love to wrap this up rather than... And now Cindy's character is here. So let's see here. You guys are a little beat up, but you did do some healing after that poison did significant damage, especially to Aldo. But you do have her surrounded in this tiny little room. Atticus, is that where you wanted to stand?
I wanted to stand as far away from her as possible. So I was trying to like duck into this little secret room thinking she'd be in the other corner. I mean, I think that we need to be, you know, Eris needs to be right next to her. There's no way we would position ourselves anywhere other than we knew we were going to fight her. So Eris would be right next to her and Atticus would be behind.
Never quite done a combat like this. Let's see how it goes. It's Aldo's turn.
All right, Aldo is going to shake up a vial of bottled lightning and boom, throw it right into her face. Oh, that is a 32 to hit.
Okay, now is that... forget it. Sorry. 32 to hit is a hit.
Okay. Boxcars on the damage.
Oh, dude, amazing.
16 points of damage. And I think there's something else, some other effects.
Surprise?
It would be a little surprising. And then he's going to throw a of acid. He's going to throw acid on her. That's a 27?
27's a miss.
Okay. So she takes... 4 points of acid damage.
With your new Johnski. Okay. Great. Anything else, or is that it?
I'm just going to do a...
Lightning has...
Yeah, I'm going to do a knowledge check to see if she has any weaknesses. Probably should have done this first. That would be 31.
She's weak to cold iron.
Cold iron. Okay.
Cold iron! If you got a cold iron, use it!
And Eris knows that she has some resistances to mental damage, but she's weak to cold iron. Okay, it is Atticus's turn.
Oh, boy, this is very, very, very interesting. The woman who set this up is nowhere to be seen.
Kavrigi, no, she, her plan was she is going to distract people outside. You can hear in the distance... Last Christmas.
All right, so she was not going to come in and stabby stab
away.
Oh,
she was going to distract.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and she's flat-footed.
And the curtain is closed behind us,
flat-footed?
Right?
She's flat-footed? Okay.
She's flat-footed until the start of my next turn.
Okay, great. That's huge.
And can I just ping where she is? Is this her right in the middle of the room? We have her surrounded, or is this her in the corner?
No, that's Dalthef in the corner. He's dead. Right.
So she's smack in the middle of the room. Wow, this is a wild situation. Okay. Then I am going to open then with a 3-action bone shaker on her.
Oh, just going right to the bone.
Going right to the bones, dude. And that is a fortitude save. Going to try to avoid that will. Go fortitude. Let's see how she does on fort.
Okay. Great. So here we go. Let's get Neon Greensy out. That is going to be a 34.
Joe looks distressed.
No, that was awesome. It is 3d8 damage, and I rolled 3 7s.
Oh, wow.
But you succeeded.
So it's half? Not a critical success, right?
Yes, it's half. So you take 10 points of damage.
Okay.
10 points of, I believe, blood. Yeah, 10 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
And I will free action.
Ethel, do you want me to push her against the wall?
Or do you want her to stay right in melee with you? Because I can move her bones.
Better if she stays in melee with me.
Okay. And he will just let it go. So 10 points of damage.
10 points of damage. Okay, great. Guys really lit her up here. And
it looks
Ethel's.
Like her fucking fortitude save is pretty good in addition to her will save.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can tell you more later as to that. It is Ethel's turn, though. I'm telling you, I rolled bad initiative, which kind of changes the entire combat for what I had planned.
All right, yeah, Ethel's going to double slice, hammer and hatchet. Oh, God. Not great rolling. Okay, that is going to be a 28 on the Warhammer and a 29 on the hatchet.
Miss.
Really?
No.
Flat-footed?
So close. Oh, flat-footed. Those are both hits.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Oh, thanks, for the win.
I got the little foot on there and I forgot.
Okay. Then I'm going to guess what I get to do on the first episode. I get to flense you, bro.
Don't you dare, flense!
Oh, you flense, bro!
Flense.
Let's deal with the damage first, though. So from the Warhammer, that's going to be 22 points of damage.
Oh,
and from the hatchet,
Molly Hatchet.
That's going to be 14 points of damage.
Okay.
And then third action will be the flensing strike. So that is going to, you're going to take 2d8 persistent bleed damage per weapon. So 2d8 persistent bleed damage. And you are flat-footed, which you, until the end, so you're flat-footed for a little longer.
Stands, yeah.
And any resistances to any physical damage types are reduced by 5.
Wow.
That's cool. So 2d8 persistent damage at the end of her turn, which she'll then roll a flat check to see if it stops.
So yeah, okay. So Ethel just slams into her chest with the hammer, and then just does like a massive slice across her face, maybe.
Dude,
she's just
like
bleeding.
This awesome. Is her nightmare.
Yeah,
we
for
are
real.
Her nightmare.
Yeah,
loves
that's
being
right.
a nightmare.
Okay, this is interesting. All right, it's her turn. The only one she beat in initiative was Eris. The first thing she's going to do is cast a spell, which will provoke both. Eris, do you have a weapon? You have
sure.
your claws
it's
now,
just
right?
Ethel. Claws. It's just
Ethel because you don't have that reaction.
Yeah. Oh, Natty 18. That is a 37 to hit.
37's a hit.
Is that not quite a quick.
Amazing, hit. Dude. Wow.
Okay, that's 17 points of damage.
Nice.
Wow.
Remember, her if she had any resistances to physical damage, they're reduced by 5.
All right, so here's what happens. She casts invisibility, and she goes invisible. And that's, let me see, that's 2 actions, and that's all you see. So now it's Eris's turn.
And then she bleeds.
Oh, and then she bleeds. That's right. All right, do you want to roll the 2d8?
Sure. 5 points of damage.
She has taken so much damage in this first round. And now I roll a flat check, DC 15 to stop the bleeding. Nope. I rolled a 6. DC 15 to stop persistent. I love that rule. It's one of those, like, what a cool rule.
It makes persistent damage terrifying.
Terrifying! Yeah, that could last for 6 rounds. Okay, Eris. Tough thing. She disappeared, but you know she's hurt. There's blood all over the place.
The door is closed, right? Like, we would see her
curtain
leave.
Shut, yeah. You would see the curtain move, for sure, and it didn't.
I had a plan, but then she went invisible, which is, like, really cool of her. I'm just, like, looking through my stuff really quick to make sure there's not something I'm missing. There might be something I'm missing. I'm going to just prepare to cast a spell that I was originally wanting to cast as soon as she becomes visible.
Okay, so you're going to ready in action.
Yeah.
Okay.
When
that's
she
two
becomes
actions.
Visible, I'm going to do the things that I wanted to do.
That's your trigger. And does the trigger happen immediately, or does it happen at the end of... That's one thing I want to remember. Like, if she becomes visible, like, say it's not greater invisibility, right? And she takes an action. Does the trigger happen before her action, or does it happen at the end of her action? For some reason, I remember reading that, like, her action happens, and action then the trigger.
In first edition, it was before. Are you saying in second edition, it's after? Also,
I could be misremembering.
Kate, I'm sorry. What were you readying?
I'm specifically readying a spell. Organ sight.
I don't think you can. I think readying is two actions to ready a one action thing.
Oh.
So really, you can only really ready, like, swinging a sword, I think.
Choose all a right. single action or free action you can use.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, you can't ready spells.
That's why I said he would ready shield last time. It's like he couldn't ready a two action spell.
Let me... So she's invisible, so that means I can't attack her.
Well,
I'm just
going to
hold.
You can do
attack.
A seek action. You can do a seek action.
It's a perception action. Check to...
Yeah, because we just can't see her. She would still give off other clues. There might be little things she's stepping on the floor or the way that something moves on the wall.
We surround her.
Yeah.
You could follow the trail of blood, the gallons of blood that she's leaking.
Yeah,
maybe that would give us some kind of
for
a
real,
clue
that's,
as to
that's
where
what
she
the
is.
Perception check is for. Like,
I guess
find
so.
Exactly that.
So basically, right now she's invisible to you. You can use the seek action, which is a perception check, to try and figure out her location, which would make her hidden to you. Mm-hmm. So you'd still, if you were trying to do something, you have to roll a flat check because she's still hidden to you. But it's like one step. The flat check's slightly easier.
I'll do that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so roll a perception check. I'm just trying to remember what the DC is.
You set the DC. Well, whatever.
No, it should be.
Obviously, you set the DC, but it's...
All right, so the target becomes
it's probably
invisible.
Against her stealth DC with a bonus for the invisibility. Because if you're invisible, it doesn't mean that, like, if you're an unstealthy person, you could still be like a bull in a china shop. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. So the target's invisible. That makes it undetected, though the creatures can attempt to find the target, making it hidden. That's what you're trying to do. So it's a seek action. I just need to know the DC.
The DC is her stealth DC. It must be. Without
it's
even
just
a bonus.
Stealth DC?
Yeah, because all it does is move her to hidden. She's still hidden.
Right. Okay. I'm stalling to see if someone says anything in the chat. If that's the case...
4min2317 says, she might be screaming, I've been flensed.
You can use a seek action to attempt to figure out an invisible creature's location, making it hidden from you.
Yeah, I don't think it's stealth DC, because she doesn't have a stealth DC. She doesn't have stealth.
Oh, well then, it's going to be really easy to find her.
Yeah, that's why I don't think it's stealth.
Okay.
When invisible, you can't see. Creatures can see. Oh, wait, no. If a creature succeeds a perception check against your stealth DC, you become hidden. Yeah. You're right.
Wow, because you're
crazy.
Not finding her. She's just hidden.
Right. Like, I wonder if invisible condition gives you a bonus to your stealth.
Why would it? It gives you a... The bonus that it gives you is it is when you succeed, you're still hidden. You know what I mean?
So like it's still going to be just a flat DC 10 perception check.
Oh, yes. I rolled a 24.
All right, so you know where she is.
Yeah,
where
she's and you take a 25% basically. It's a DC. Whatever
God,
DC,
I had this down.
It's a DC 5 flat check, still. Wherever she is.
Well, I'm gonna try to slash her with my nails. Like I'm gonna try to like grab out at her. Like oh, I kind of think I know where you are, you sneaky little minx. And then she like reaches out with her nails and like tries to slash at her.
Okay.
Sorry, DC 11. DC 11 for hidden.
Okay, but you still hit that. But that tells you what space she's in as well? Or no, you're still guessing the space, right? This is the thing that I read this morning and it completely just fell out of my brain. Like, because yeah. I'm supposed to roll the attack for you and I'm supposed to roll the flat check so you don't know if you hit or not. And I'm just trying to remember. There's one little step we're skipping about, like, you
she
don't
knows
know
the
space.
I know what space you occupy, but little else. You're barely perceptible by me.
She knows the space.
You do know the space. All right, so what's your attack bonus?
My attack bonus is
claws plus what? If you were gonna attack,
you
with
just
your claws,
rolled it. You literally just rolled it.
No, I rolled to find
Stop
out
shouting.
Where she was.
Oh, you this only is, rolled perception.
This is a brawling thing.
Yeah. So whatever your claws attack is, what's that number?
How do you roll for brawling?
It should just say, like, under your weapons, claws.
Or I'll say, it might also say, like, fist or unarmed. And then it'll give you some the attack rolls on that.
It's a feat.
It should add it to your...
The Eldritch Nails.
Yeah, it should just be your unarmed attack, then.
Yeah.
Which should be under your weapons.
Oh, okay.
Under melee. Offenses. Melee.
Melee.
Fist.
Sorry, I'm like using a different character sheet than all of you, and it is like that is not on here.
Okay. Are there any attacks at all on there?
Under weapons?
Yeah.
No.
Under melee, there's no numbers?
No, you have to like manually add everything. I'm using the Path Builder 2E thing. So it doesn't.
It's plus 10 plus your.
Our decks are. Claws finesse weapons. I would assume they are.
Well, she's just doing one attack, though.
No, but
oh, but it might use
not agile.
That's would, dex no. as opposed to strength.
Finesse, you would use your dex, so it would be 10 plus your dex would be the attack. If you're not trained in melee fighting,
I don't know anything about that. They're in the brawling group and have the agile and unarmed traits. It doesn't say anything about finesse.
All right, do you
agile
cast?
And unarmed, that's so it's strength. Not finesse. It uses your strength.
Okay.
And you're
I don't
unarmed.
Have any.
All right, so 10 plus... So
just
10.
10.
Okay. All right. And then what is it, a flat check, DC 5?
DC 11.
DC 11. All right, so you scratch in that area, and you don't feel like you find purchase upon anything.
Dang it! God!
Well, we know she's... But if you point it... But we see that she's in that corner.
Yeah, you feel like she is right in the middle back. And so Eris can tell you that, but you attacked there and didn't feel anything. All right. Round two. It is Aldo's turn.
All right. Aldo is going to throw another acid bomb at that square.
Okay. What's your attack bonus?
Plus 16.
Okay. All right, so the bomb... this is where it gets stupid. Like, it's just splash damage.
No, it's not.
Okay.
What? Well, it's not hit.
It didn't hit her. You know what I mean? That's why it's... I hate these stupid GM rules, the checks. It's fucking dumb. You missed. So it's splash damage. What's right. So it's just 4 points?
4 points of splash damage.
Yeah.
Okay. And then... Same again. Plus 12. Or plus 11. Sorry, plus 11.
Okay. Yeah, same thing. More okay. splash
Four
damage.
More points.
Okay.
You can't just roll the, like, try to target you and just roll the flat check?
That's
You're
what
supposed
he's
to have the GM roll it, so I'm rolling it. I just don't like it. I don't like that.
Yeah, no, then don't do it. You don't have to do anything you don't like.
No, I know, but like it, I understand the spirit of it, too, so.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense in this case, though, because we know she's
there. You know where she's there, yeah.
Also, Button Mash makes a good point, which I've seen before. It is an action to point out a creature that you know where it is and no one else.
I think Kate had an action left, though. So.
We also could infer
just say you had an action.
She slashed.
I was, yeah, no, I was trying to like yeah, grab at her, but also scratch
Why
her.
Why are you
with my
attacking
nails?
That empty square?
Extremely small room.
She's right here.
We got to talk to that weird witch later. All right, Aldo. I'm sorry, buddy. Do you have anything left after those?
I'm going to try to do an aid. Can I do an aid with Arcana?
Yeah, so save like, that for when it triggers. And who do you want to help?
I'm going to help Ethel.
Ethel, okay. It's Atticus's turn.
Okay, Atticus is going to... Man, because I'm running the stream, I keep clicking on the broadcast to move my mini.
I've done that. I've done that before.
Yeah. Atticus is going to move down, now knowing exactly where she is and taking no penalty because he's so talented. I'm going to use one of my new jaws. It's a little fourth level spell you've all heard of, though I don't know if you know how it works in 2E. The dark spell. A spell of the darkness as Atticus moves more and more towards the dark. A little spell called Enervation.
Oh, very nice.
And you are welcome to continue being invisible. I truly don't care. And this line of negative energy just goes straight through to the back of the room, hitting any creature in its line, unaffected by your hidden nature.
Awesome. Really? Wow. Awesome.
Because it's, unless I'm reading it wrong, but it is essentially an AoE. There is no attack roll. You don't need line of sight. It is a 30-foot line and affects every creature in the line.
So she's in that line. You know,
that's great.
Yeah.
So it is a fortitude save.
All right. You know she's got Juicy Fort.
Juicy Fort. I need a low roll. I need a Fumboni.
All right. I rolled a 3.
Oh, sweet.
Let's see, that's going to be a total of a 25.
Oh!
A 25 is a failure.
Yes!
There we
yes!
go.
Yes!
Yeah.
You are drained one, and you will take 4d8 persistent negative damage.
Holy shit!
Wait!
The darkness is real.
Holy shit.
Holy shit. All right, drained. Wow. You take a status penalty equal to your unconsciousness. So my fort goes down
by one.
My fort save. I also lose a number of hit points equal to my level times the drain value and my max hit point. Holy shit, and I don't get those back even though drain doesn't decrease till I get a full night's sleep.
Yeah, we were drained once in one of these dreams, I think.
Yeah,
it was no fun.
Yeah.
Holy
that
shit.
Fail is huge. That natural
That's
three.
Huge.
I mean, dude, a natural four is a success.
That's
enormous. That was huge.
This is her last Christmas. This is her last Christmas.
Very All nice right, day so, you gave it away and you were drained.
That's right.
So she takes damage and she's got that minus one to her fort save. Wow. And okay. All right.
Sorry. Let's not forget. 4d8 persistent negative energy. Now, is she. She doesn't take that till her turn.
It's right
at the start of her turn. End of her turn. She
takes it. At the end of her turn.
And then she rolls the flat
check. So it doesn't tick before that. Before the end of her turn. Okay.
No. Right. Still, brutal. We'll see what you roll. It's Ethel's turn.
Okay, Ethel is going to step forward. First action. And then second and third action, we'll do a double slice.
And I aid.
And you aid. So what I'm adding plus two?
Yep.
And what do you? What is your explanation of your aid? You're like, hey!
Look at that telltale shimmering around the edges that you can, that any invisible creature, aim for that.
I love that. Right. You still have to roll. Did you hit it?
I did roll, yeah. Okay. Well, it got natty 17.
So do you want... Do you want to roll the flat check, Troy, or am I rolling? I'm so
No, you can roll the flat check. Fuck this. Okay. So DC, it's DC 11 now because you know what square she's in.
Yeah.
No, but she's still...
Hidden.
She's still... she's undetected to you, right? Or did... Eris do... Is that enough to detect
when
her?
She points out, it becomes hidden.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so yeah, DC 11.
Basically, hidden is defined as you know the general location of the creature, but almost nothing else about where they are in that space.
It's so fun. It's like a typical Pathfinder prep. I had this down cold, and it just fell out of my brain as we started.
I passed the flat check on both attacks.
Okay.
And I rolled an 18 and a 16. Natural 18, natural 16.
Oh, what are the totals?
For the Warhammer, that's going to be a 27. And for the Hatchet, that's going to be a 37. And for the Hatchet, that's going to be a 33.
Those are two hits.
Okay.
Okay. And her flat footed ends
longer,
at the end of
no
your
longer
turn.
Flat footed.
Oh, at the start of your turn.
Okay. Yeah, it's. Okay, so. Okay. 16 points of damage from the Warhammer, bludgeoning.
Okay.
And then. That will be 12 points of damage slashing from the hatchet.
Oh my god. Okay. And that's your turn, right?
And that is my turn. And because I use a third action move, I can't do the flensing spike.
Alright, so I put all my eggs in this one fucking basket to try and pull this off. Alright, so she comes out of invisibility.
Bad idea.
Because she is casting a spell. And so as she is casting that spell, she is casting that spell on Ethel.
That provokes, though, right?
Oh, that provokes.
No, because she's casting it. The only thing that's making her visible is she's casting an offensive spell. You know what I mean? So she's invisible. She's casting the spell on you, and she becomes visible. So that doesn't provoke.
After the time for your AOO has passed, your reaction ability has passed. Is that what you're saying?
Troy? Yeah. If she was visible and cast, you cast it. But she's the only reason things is making her visible is the casting of the spell.
So it already happened.
She casts the spell, and then she becomes visible because it is a hostile spell. Give me a... This is huge. This is really, really huge. Just need to see what the fucking thing is. Where is it? Okay, there it is. Give me a will save at a -2 because you're flat-footed to her while she's invisible.
Okay. All right. Use a different die. Let me use this thing.
Flat-footed is a minus to everything, including will saves?
No, it's this. She has this power called Spell Ambush. A creature flat-footed takes a -2 penalty to save, so that's why I wanted to go invisible first, because it empowers the attack.
That's cool. Spell Ambush.
Yeah. Wow. I think I'm going to use my hero point to re-roll.
Ooh.
It's called a 12, which is a real tweener, and I feel like this is going to be a real...
Yeah.
So
you're right.
Better go for
But you could better. Fumble.
But I could fumble. That's why we play, isn't it?
Hey, and then we play. That's why we show up every morning.
Oh my god. I rolled a 12 on my first roll, which is going to give me a 26 will. I'm sorry, 24 because of the -2. And then I rolled a natural 1.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Holy.
Oh my god. I was like, just don't do it. Just take the fail. Take the fail.
But this is why we play the game, isn't it? She just cast Dominate on you.
Norse Foundry.
Oh no!
So, failure is you control the target. It gains the controlled condition. But it can attempt a will save at the end of each of its turns. On a success, the spell ends. But you critically failed. Critical failure is as failure, but the target receives a new save only if you give it a new order that is against its nature, such as killing its allies. So controlled in this is you can have it do anything.
So Ethel is effectively out of the fight and only gets a save if it's to kill us.
Yes, but the good news is that's exactly what she's telling you to do.
What? Run?
Kill them.
Oh.
So that is the command she gives you.
And now you take a whole lot of persistent
damage. I take a whole lot of persistent damage. I take the 2d8 and the 4d8, and then I guess it would be two separate checks to try and remove these.
Yeah. Ethel's eyes, I imagine, just like cloud over and go full white.
Oh, that's so scary.
God, so it looks scary. Like you did at this custody hearing.
I can't believe you critically failed on Dominate. Oh, that's amazing. All right, give me the 2d8 there, Matthew.
Oh, right. I roll it. Sorry, I was waiting for you.
Trying to figure out, like, what if you guys kill her with this persistent? Does the spell keep going?
No, it ends when she's dead.
Does it?
Yeah.
So that, but you're controlled, so it's like, what is that?
Oh, right. That's a good point.
8 points of damage from the 2d8.
Okay. She's visible now, so let me put her out there. All right. 8 points of damage from the 2d8.
And 19 from the 4d8.
All right, she's still cooking. Was that mental damage? No, that was... It was the innervation.
Mine
the
was
trait?
Negative damage.
It doesn't have
mine
the
was,
mental trait.
Mine
trait.
Was bleed.
Yeah, I figured.
It is necromancy, arcane, and negative.
Okay.
It's basically death. It is like taking your life away as opposed to a mental thing. It's purely physical.
Ethel is completely dominated, and it is Eris's turn. And you kill her before it comes back to Ethel's turn.
I'm going to try. I'm going to cast the thing that I was going to do that first time. I'm casting Organ Sight. So I'm trying to see her as though she's dissected in like a raid before me. I'm trying to find a vital organ to stab with something. And to do that, I need to do a recall knowledge check using medicine. To spot that organ.
Oh, that's cool.
And I don't fully understand what that means.
Well,
I know I have to
roll a
medicine
check.
Yeah.
And then I know what the DC, or I think the DC is in here somewhere. And then if you hit that, then you can, what is this thing called? Organ what?
Oh, you'll see what happens when I, if
no,
I
but let
it.
Me look it up just in case.
Yeah, it's organ sight. So if I succeed the next time I deal piercing damage or slashing damage, I deal 4d6 additional precision damage.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Yeah. Spell. It's like a 1-2 punch kind of thing.
Okay. All right. So you roll a medicine. You get a +2 bonus on medicine checks. Oh, wait. Recall child using medicine to spot a vial. If you have the lore skill, you can use that. You don't. Yeah. Okay, great. So recall some knowledge.
I have a +9 because I have an untrained on improvisation.
Okay.
That is a 20 medicine check.
That is a 20 medicine check. What is the level of that spell? That is...
It is a level 3 spell.
That's okay. Yep, you succeeded.
Nice.
Okay, nice. So I like got her all right out in front of me, and I see... her heart or something, or like her liver or whatever.
It's like, did you guys ever play that Mortal Kombat when the fatalities would sometimes like slow down and show you the internal organs of the creature?
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly like what's happening right now. I'm focusing, I'm taking out my kukri, and I'm gonna stab at that.
Clancy Nocht says, the pancreas wouldn't be very fast, but it would be painful.
That's true.
All right, so that was two actions. You've got one action left. Is your next action to draw the kukri, or did you already have it out?
I don't know if I already had it out. I feel like maybe we could imply it, but I mean, no, I was trying to grab her last round with my nails.
All right, so you can draw the kukri so it's ready to go.
No. So you know what? Telekinetic projectile, something sharp in the room. That can do piercing damage.
Like
and fling
broken
it at her.
Crack pipe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that.
All right. That's one action, telekinetic projectile.
Make a spell attack roll. Let's see.
Yeah, you should have a spell. Oh, that's telekinetic projectile is two actions.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. Can't you just claw her?
Yeah, I'll claw her with my sharp nails, I guess.
All right, roll a d20 and add 10.
Roll a d20 and add 10. Oh, shit. Crack die. That went crazy. 14, 20, 24.
It's a miss. Good hit, though.
Are you serious?
Those sharp claws would have
done. Are you serious?
That's okay, because now you can next round draw the Kukri and kill away if she's not already dead. It is. Round three, and it's Aldo's turn. Aldo, she's on the ropes.
Okay.
Ethel has been dominated.
All right, I'm going to try, probably see that this is happening to Ethel. I'm going to try to free him before he goes, if I possibly can. By killing her, I'm going to throw another bottle of lightning. Fucking fast math. 29 to hit.
Yes. She's not. Is she flat-footed still?
No. He's trying to make her flat-footed. All right. Well, all right. I'll do it again. I'll do it again.
She's hard to hit.
She sure is. Sorry. And I can't read these dice. Yeah, another miss. I'm just going to try to... Well, I'll throw another one.
Do any of those have 20. Splash skin?
Yeah, actually they do. Okay, so that's 8 points of splash, and I'll throw another one. That's another miss, but another four. Okay, so that's 12 points of splash damage.
You know, nothing wrong with 12 points of splash damage when she's on the ropes like this.
Yeah.
All right, and now Atticus's turn.
Atticus, you stand in the dark lane.
This is it, by the way.
This is your turn.
The question is Ethel's turn.
Yeah, the question is Ethel, you know what? You guys play this however you want. I don't think Ethel's going to see this coming. Atticus is going to, I'm going to say that Atticus knows what's going on here. Like, the whites of the eyes, all of a sudden he goes rigid. She touched him. We know she's a mental controlling kind of creature. He's not going to mess around, and he's going to try to snap Ethel out of it while also doing some damage. And he's just going to fire a lightning bolt straight through Ethel and her at the same time.
Hell yeah. Dang! Can hit Ethel too?
He's going to hit Ethel too.
Reflex save?
Reflex save.
Okay. All right.
Don't fumble, man.
I did. All right. 27.
Okay.
I rolled pretty high. I rolled very high. 34.
I rolled great. Okay, but you guys both pass, so you take half damage.
Let me just look at her hit points. All right, so
I rolled a 31. So that's, 15? 15 points of electricity damage.
She's still up.
God damn it.
You know, Troy, you can say whatever you want. You're not. I'm just saying.
If I didn't know what was happening next, I certainly would fudgeroo here, but now it's Ethel.
Can I go to the bathroom then?
Yes, of course. Ethel is right in the middle. Can attack literally anyone. Eris, Atticus, or Eldo.
Hold on a second. Is this commanding? Is this just free? Does it have an action associated with it?
Does not have an action.
No action.
Oh, great. Right.
It even says doesn't count against her actions. Or typically doesn't count against her actions. So I'm going to have you do three attacks, and then you'll get to roll your will save, because even though you fumbled, this is the one condition that allows you to... I could have just said, like, wake up.
Well, wait, why doesn't he roll his will save before he starts swinging it? This is the command that triggers it.
The end of your turn. The failure is it gains the controlled condition but can attempt a will save at the end of its turn.
Right, but it tries to issue a command that is against its...
But it's as failure, which allows the will save at the end of the turn. But the whole point is the target gets that save only if I try to command it to do something. So it's as failure. The failure condition is you get to roll that save at the end of the turn. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you change, like, the command you're doing is against the creature's nature at the beginning of his turn. That's
right. But that first as failure,
then it
means,
modifies it, but then it modifies.
But the target receives a new save. Right. But the point is, like, if I don't tell you to harm your allies or kill yourself, you don't get that save. The only thing that allows you to get that save at the end of your turn is
that's on the failure. It's like, oh, if you just fail at the end of each turn, every 6 seconds, you can get a new save. Now, the way you did it, it changes. You get the new save if you issue a command.
No, because that makes it better than failure. Failure, no, if you just failed, leave. I could be like, attack your allies with all three actions, and you would have to do it, and then you get the will save.
No, with I think critical the benefit failure. Is you could say, leave. That's not against my nature. And I would never stop being under your control unless right. I pass that save at the end of the turn. In this case, you're saying, oh, you want me to do something actively against my nature. I get the save.
The chat's agreeing with me. I'm going to stick with my interpretation. But here's the good news. I'm going to let you attack each person once. And we'll do it.
Why don't we start with Eris?
Why?
I'm just throwing it out there.
I'll roll randomly for the first person. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, so the first person is Aldo. And then 1, 2, 3, 4. Second person is... I've got Aldo 3 times. 4 times. 5 times would have been Aldo. All right, then the next person is Atticus. So Aldo first attack, Atticus second attack, Eris third attack.
Which weapon would you prefer, since this is bullshit?
everyone in the chat's agreed with me.
Three people agreed with you.
Well, the only
everyone's
three people
agreeing with me. Statistically, 100% of people agree with me.
It just makes sense the way I'm explaining it.
It makes
like,
sense to you because you want it to happen. It doesn't make any sense at all.
You're reading it. You're reading it incorrectly. The failure condition would be like attack somebody and then you get a will save, or I could be like jump off a bridge and then you get a will save. Critical is
jump off
it's
a
like
bridge
fail-
and then you get a will save. Do you realize what you just said?
No, I know, but like I can tell you to
critical
do anything.
Failure. The critical failure is go wait in my office. You're under my control for the rest of your life.
Sure, but if I say to do something that's against your nature, you actually get the will save that you get at the end of your turn as
right
failure.
There. Right then.
No, you're definitely wrong on this.
I'm so definitely right, but just tell me which weapon to use.
You're going to feel funny when the Reddit explains how wrong you are. Now, okay. Roll the attack against Aldo, and then which Atticus, weapon? Then Eris. Whatever does the most damage.
All right, Warhammer. Natural 2. 21.
Miss. Against Aldo.
Miss.
Right. Okay.
Atticus
fumble.
Next.
Fumble. I think he's so distraught he doesn't take any more attack.
Yeah, he's so surprised.
Who's next, Atticus or Eris?
Atticus. Next up is Atticus.
Same weapon?
Is that good? Whatever's easier to hit.
Okay, that's a natural 17. 31 to hit. Sorry, Joe.
That's all right. That is a hit. What is this spell called? Dominate?
Dominate.
I don't
Troy's
see it
totally
in there.
Right. I read the rules, and he's right. Sorry.
Maybe you believe Kate? Kate, how I knew I liked Kate? You.
I mean, I follow the rules. I'm a Virgo.
She can't help it.
14 points of damage, Joe.
Still up.
Okay.
Are you that close, Atticus?
No, I was just being dramatic.
Oh, it's fun.
You like and turn then, to Eris and she's like, Ethel, I thought we had something going on.
I thought we were connecting.
No? 9 to hit.
A 9?
9 to yeah. hit Eris.
Oh, I no, that doesn't hit me.
It immediately kills her. all right.
I knew you liked me.
Pretty damn close. Didn't quite do enough damage, but Atticus got a little beat up. And now it is her turn again. She actually gets a turn. But this is not going to go well. Let's see. All right, so we've dominated. Okay, let's... She is going to do a... she's going to attempt to... Like, her jaw unhinges, and she goes to bite Atticus.
You mean Aldo?
No, Atticus.
Past
are you
Ethel?
Invisible? Oh, you not? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm coming at you, Ethel, with a 30. Oh no, you're on my team. I'm on so all right. Attack. So 1, 2, Eris, 3, 4, Aldo. It's Aldo. I'm sorry. 30 against Aldo.
That's a hit.
Yeah. All right, hits Aldo for 9 points of damage, 2 points of evil damage. And now roll a fortitude save.
Okay. That is a 29 fortitude.
You have contracted abyssal plague from her mouth. Right.
God, Jesus.
You're drained one.
As oh, no.
Her teeth have given you the plague from the abyss.
Okay.
All right, so that's her her first action. And then for her final two actions, she will do... something known as...
Oh, I didn't get my will save.
Oh, yes, you do get your will save.
Cracked die. It was on a natural 15, but I want to be honest.
appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, and then with her final action, two actions, she will do... Sorry, I have so many fucking tabs open. Where's my night hag? All right. She'll do something called Shadow Blast. You shape the quasi-real substance of the Shadow Plane into a blast. Choose acid, bludgeoning, cold, electricity, fire, force, piercing, slashing, or sonic damage. Then choose a 30-foot cone, a 15-foot burst, or a 50-foot line. It deals 5d8 of the type of damage you chose to each creature in the area. I'm just going to do a 30-foot cone on all of you. 2, 7, 11, 18, 26. Everybody roll a... you actually get to choose reflex or will. It says target's choice.
It's all of us?
Yeah.
What kind of damage is this?
It's going to be... fire damage.
Cool.
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 I will take reflex.
Oh. Okay.
It's a 30.
33.
My will and reflex are the same.
Fail.
24 reflex.
All right.
I should tell you 19. It could be a fumble. All
right. So Aldo failed and Ethel critically failed.
Oh my god.
Holy shit. So Ethel takes 52 points of damage. Aldo takes 26. And you guys take 13. Eris and Atticus.
Ugh.
That doesn't have any... That has no effect on the Dominate, right?
It doesn't. However, the persistent damage then kills her.
Oh god.
I knew she was ready. She was ripe. She was ripe.
The only reason I kept it... She had 2 hit points left after that final attack with the lightning bolt, and so I had to see what Ethel could do. So she dies, and as she falls to the ground, the folds of her robe open up, and you see... You see her breast. You see the heart stone, the fourth gift that you'll need.
Yes. Grab
the mad parent!
Yes.
Grab a bunch of drugs and then wake up.
Yes. We'll see you in Philly for the
we'll
Christmas
extravaganza!
Good night, everybody!
Good night, everybody! Merry Christmas, everyone!
Merry Christmas, y'all!
Happy Thanksgiving, too. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Have a migraine.
Thanks for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. For more podcasts and live streams, visit glasscannonnetwork.com. And for exclusive shows and content you can't find anywhere else, subscribe today at patreon.com/glasscannon.